And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 7th, 2012. This is Season 6, Episode 10, also Episode 242 overall, if you'd like to know. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to the show. We go over your tweets and emails, not very many of them, but we talk about the reaction to Microsoft Surface, their tablet device. MechWarrior Online gets early access and pricing. We go over a little bit of that. How did we meet? How did we all meet? We go over the history of that, as asked by Daniel Phelps in one of our emails. Also, give out a little marriage advice while we're at it. Disappointment in Rockstar Games also comes from Daniel and his disappointment with them through GTA and what they're doing there. Our official logger of the show, we go into discussion about that. It's been a slow couple of weeks, by the way, in case you can't tell. Game value and waiting for sales. Resident Evil series is discussed. EA stock performance is discussed as well. We go into games that we're enjoying, which isn't very much at the moment. Also, Mass Effect 3, we have some ending discussion, or at least some expansion on the ending discussion going on in this episode. Sony's buying Gaikai for $380 million. Spider-Man has talked about the game and the movie. Spec Ops is discussed. None of us have played it, but a couple of us want to. Walking Dead and DayZ are also mentioned towards the end of the show. Multitask gaming. And then finally, what games could make a good movie and how. We go into that discussion at the end of the show. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, all you have to do is send us an email, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can send us a tweet at ingamechat. You can also find us on colonyofgamers.com, where we have our forums, and you can talk about individual episodes there. You can also find out how to get in touch with us on Xbox Live, PlayStation 3, Steam, OnLive, Blizzard, or Battle.net, and any other kind of service that's out there. You can find out ways to get in touch with the guys of the show. So that will do it. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show. We don't have many of them, but I'll jump into the tweets. The first one's from Gersnort, who says, the internet reaction in real time to the Microsoft Surface, iPad knockoff, huh, wow, want, price, fuck you.
Price was with the question marks?
Yes,
yeah. The hell was the last time anybody announced something with a price? Has it been recent? My adulthood? Does anybody do that anymore?
Announce with price? No, price comes later.
No, Apple announces with price.
Yeah. Well, Apple has like price points that they slot hardware into a lot of times.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, every single one of their new things, it's always, here's how much you'll be paying for it.
Right.
Here's how much it starts, and here's how much this starts.
And that's on release, like on the official, like.
That's when they announce the app, just like they did for the new Air, or for the new, whatever, this year's model of the Air. Yeah. And then the Retina MacBook.
Well, they also don't ever announce their product that far in advance, right?
I mean, it's always
a few months.
For the most part, yeah.
Like 3 months?
It's a few months.
Well, Microsoft is looking at.
Down the road.
Somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
Far enough that, you know, we may not need roads. Depending on where it lands.
Which makes you wonder why they decided to announce it and why it seemed like it was a rush thing to get announced. Because I remember that sort of came out of a, like it was, you know, 1 week before they said, oh, Microsoft's doing this thing. And it just seemed rushed, or at least.
As bad as it something was. Or might be, who the hell knows.
Yeah.
I mean, price is a big thing that, you know, whatever. But. Fuck it, who knows?
Yeah, well, let's see. Google announced the price on theirs, I think, the Nexus. The Nexus 7, their tablet. I think they announced it there, but I could be wrong.
Well, if they're. I mean, okay.
But again, theirs was coming out in a few months as well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something like.
Yeah.
This is.
Well, what they said, I guess, is that. You can expect availability could be sometime, you know, after the wide release of Windows 8.
Yeah.
Which is also when. Yeah. Like, honestly, there's not a date yet. And so I don't understand how exactly that's going to work. And then the ARM version is, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. It was really, really weird. So I guess really the point is they made it dependent on something else in terms of release date. I still don't get the fucking thing at all. I don't understand it. I thought I understood it at first, but then the more I thought about it, the less I did.
I haven't really looked much into it. Is it just another tablet?
No, it's not just another tablet. I mean, there's two separate, there are two completely different models. One is an ARM-based processor, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to work like, you know, and it's running the Windows 8 for ARM. And it's going to work just like every other tablet does, or just like the Apple stuff does. We're going to have to get everything from their distribution channel, from the Microsoft store. And it's going to have decent battery life, but whatever. It's going to be everything you expect from an ARM-based tablet. The other one, for some reason, is using an i5 in a tablet. And so it's going to be, you know, the full x86 version of Windows 8. It's going to be the full, it's going to be Windows Pro on the tablet.
On a tablet.
Which, on paper, it sounds great. I mean, the thing sounds theoretically, I guess, great. It's certainly powerful enough. But how the hell are you going to maintain battery life in something like that? Yeah. I mean, it's got all the I.O. you could want. It's got the USB ports and stuff like that. But really, it's how are you going to maintain battery life? Which for a tablet, like a tablet thing, is a deal, you know? How are you going to do that with a touchscreen?
An actual computer, basically.
Like, basically an actual computer. And you're certainly not going to do it for anything less, because they said it's going to be... what did they say? Competitive with ultrabook pricing, mm-hmm. of the same level, and it's like, so $1,300, and I'm suspicious that it's going to have any kind of decent battery life whatsoever. So why wouldn't I just buy an ultrabook?
Yeah,
you know, I'm not saying that as a concept it's necessarily horrible, but if you do those things and you turn it into a full x86 thing, a full OS. And all the shit that comes with that, why? I don't see myself being able to, you know, go out into the field and do tech calls and stuff with it, like, all day long, mm-hmm. without running out of juice.
Yeah, you'll have to recharge multiple times.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but it is a tablet, man. There's only so much battery you can stick in that, and there's only so little juice you can convince an i5 to use.
I mean, have they made advancements in battery technology that they just haven't told anybody about?
No, those guys are still
regular battery stuff that we have out now.
Yeah,
doesn't seem likely.
So I don't know. I don't understand it.
Two things. I saw on the like a little blurb on the news in the morning when I was at work. Bill Gates was talking about how basically desktop PCs are going to die. That it's all going to be tablets. I'm like,
oh, you keep. I mean, I like Bill and everything, but he's wrong.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what people were saying 10, 12 years ago, when notebooks first started, like, becoming really, really decent, you know, a legitimate thing. It's just not true. You'll never be able to do as many things on a tablet, particularly, that you'll be able to do on a desktop PC.
On an actual desktop PC. The other thing was, do you guys remember a couple years back, Microsoft Surface? The thing that they're like promoting, like,
yeah, you know, yeah, I remember it quite well.
I find that interesting.
I still don't own one, which is why I remember it. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, they're using the same name.
Yeah, that's true.
I found that odd because the videos I saw of it was interesting.
Oh, they were super cool, but there weren't anything that any rational person was ever going to be able to afford.
No, not at all.
It's for movies and TV shows. Is what it's for. It's not for people. Not for the next 10 or 15 years, maybe. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, all the gaming blogs obviously picked up on the Surface announcement because, it's an x86 thing. I got my tablet, and it'll be great. And I don't see it actually working out. To me, it looks an awful lot like a Vita or something, you know? Looks beautiful, has brilliant technical specs. It's everything I could want in that thing, but there is no way that thing is going to be able to do what I want for any significant amount of time.
Like a on battery. A while back ago with the 3DS, that, you know, the whole point of this is supposed to, you know, the iPad or the tablets are to be portable. Right. You know, the portability, but if you have to keep on plugging in every time you need to go anywhere,
right,
or anytime you get anywhere.
If I've got somewhere in the neighborhood of $600 to $800 to throw at a device, and that's cheap iPad money. That's not even this reported Surface money. You know, that's on the cheap end of the very best thing you can buy. Like, or will be, I reckon. But if I've got that kind of money, I can build a ground up badass gaming PC.
Yeah. Really good one too.
Yeah, and I don't fucking commute on a train, so I don't. And
that's enough to like even splurge on some of the.
Yeah.
You know.
A video card.
Nice looking case. That's not even one of those important things, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could really with that kind of money. Ship Pagan wrote in and said the early access for MechWarrior Online Founders Pre-Purchaser starts August 7th. Full release should follow close.
I did a little bit of reading about that after the last recording we did, when we had some people that were sort of optimistic about it. But also found like a lot of negativity about it.
Kevin showed me the pricing for the Founders.
Yeah, it looks like
we're both sitting there going...
The pricing overall looks kind of shit to me, yeah. Right? Or that's what people were saying.
Like the full founding, like the highest you get, like 120. I'm like, that's...
Right, but like, what do you get?
You get like, I think, a couple mechs, some skin packs, a flag.
Right.
Nothing worth it.
But I mean, wasn't one of the issues like... I didn't read it for very long. My attention's kind of split between a lot of free-to-play things right now, but
yeah.
Wasn't one of the issues that you only get limited time benefits? Like, Tribes, for example, if you ever spend any money on it at all, even just buy the $10 basic VIP gold pack, right? You'll forever get an XP boost.
Okay.
Always. Now, there are separate limited XP boosters, but you'll always get, like, you know, a plus 50% XP boost over someone who's just playing for free and has never paid any money. And MechWarrior, even the founders, even the people who have gone premium at whatever level don't get that. It's like a limited time thing?
I think it was.
Okay. I remember just reading that a lot of people were really unhappy with what was being offered to the founders. That's not particularly good.
No.
You still.
I'm gonna play it, yeah. But I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna go for a founder.
You gonna spend money after the fact? You think?
Not sure. I don't want to just flat out.
What would make you want to spend money as a founder? I mean, they've got different.
Yeah.
It's not $120 or nothing.
No, it's like $120, $60, and. 30, I think.
You have a interneting device. You know?
You're right, I do.
I mean, I'm serious, because I thought that when I looked at it, I saw that there was a pretty significant breakdown of different things. People just weren't happy with what was on offer.
Yeah.
But you are a completely irrational fucktard where a lot of this stuff is concerned. You buy things that you shouldn't necessarily buy.
And I laugh, but I'm the same way.
Right.
So it's
but whatever. I mean, you're not as bad as you used to be, because I can't just tell you to buy shit anymore.
I still don't have a Vita. I still have a Vita. Yeah.
That used to be pretty reliable. I mean, Scott, yeah. I want to play this. Pick it up. You'll love it.
$120 for the Legendary Founders. You get a Founders tag, 3 months premium account, 80 in-game currency of $80, four of the Founder mechs, and recognition. $60 you get 2 months of account, $80 again, and choice of one mech. And for the $30 you get a month and $40.
A month of what?
I think of the game. Premium account.
It's a free-to-play game.
Free-to-play game. You shouldn't just get...
So a month of what?
It says premium account 1 month.
Yeah.
I know.
I guess you get classified as a premium account for 1 month.
Yeah, but the obvious... that.
What is a premium
account? Yes. Thank you for...
Yeah, it was like in City Heroes, you were a VIP. if you were a previous player, you had 1 month of VIP.
Premium account owners get 50% more C bills and XP per match.
So more money and more XP.
Yeah.
Right.
For a month. Yeah, if you just go $3.
But even the $120 is a limited.
It's three months.
Okay. Well, there's not as much on offer as I thought, but.
Just keep talking about bang the shit out of that fucking bird.
The mechs you get will be a Jenner, a Hunchback, a Catapult, and an Atlas. Out of all those, the only one I'm interested in is an Atlas.
Why?
I don't like the lighter mechs. I've never been a fan of the Jenner, the Hunchback.
You haven't played this game yet, though.
No, but I've played MechWarrior games. I've played
BattleTech. Man, this is another thing, though. I'm not sure that your history with MechWarrior games is going to translate properly to this game. It's a free-to-play game. You know, I think some aspect of it is going to be, yes, I'm in a mech and I'm jumping around and I'm a mech, but it's not. I don't know, dude. Like,
it's not MechWarrior 5.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not saying you're not right. I mean, certainly. I generally trust other people to know their preferences, but I don't know. I feel like it's the sort of thing that you'd have to get in to be really sure.
I mean, just personal preference, I've always liked heavier mechs, you know, the 80 to 100 tons, you know, styles, you know, as opposed to, like, the light guys. That's just me. And unlike Kevin, I was always a clanner.
Is any of that even going to matter, though? Isn't this game really just a bunch of fucking deathmatch?
I get the feeling that it is.
It's just team deathmatch with mechs? Which... Isn't that why we want Hawken? Like, if it's gonna be a team deathmatch with Max,
might as well have some.
I figure I'll go there.
Yeah.
Well, you won't go there until December.
I know.
Hopefully, we can go to Planetside before we, you know.
That's not looking likely. Higby obviously doesn't understand that the rest of the world views the. The phrase "a few weeks,"
yeah,
completely in a completely different way than he does. So,
the next tweet comes from Kyrie, who says, "Just won our first match in the Eve Alliance tournament. Well, congratulations!
That's good."
Nabokov wants to know, why does non-PC version of Assassin's Creed 3 have tons of pre-order stuff, but the PC version can't get any of it?
Well. They hate the PC.
It's Ruby.
They really do hate the PC. That's just the first thing they do. Then they push the game back. And then they...
Have all of them been available on the PC, all the previous versions?
Yes.
Assassin's Creed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
They've released sometimes a month to a year later. They have been released on the PC. I mean, Ubi releases their games pretty much on the PC all the time. It's usually... A little bit late.
Just not on a good schedule.
Yeah, the schedule's not that great, but they still release their games. They still give.
A lot of people who are still really scared of day and date on the PC for some reason.
Yeah.
Either they can't. I don't know. Who the hell knows? Either they don't want to do it or they're incapable of doing it. Neither one of those things makes me happy.
Yeah. That is all the tweets. That we have. Moving on to mail. We don't have much of that either. And it's a shame Jeremy's not here because we have a... we have an email here from Daniel Phelps writing in. Hello again, IGC crew. It's Consigliere again. I'm hammered. First, nothing game related. I just want to hear the story of how you guys met one another. My story is... I only know everybody else through you.
Right.
Well, sort of. I mean, before we ever did any of this,
yeah.
I remember walking into Jeremy's shop.
You're not really going back far enough.
No. Didn't he get us into GoldenEye? I mean, not GoldenEye, but...
Because you worked at the mall.
The movie store.
The Carmike in the...
Yeah.
In the mall.
The Will's Not Enough, I think it was. He got us into.
And
I have no idea.
Because you weren't always there, but you were there.
I was, but that's right, I was, because that's when mm-hmm. Okay. That's right, yeah.
And then, because that's...
I met you through your ex-wife.
Through my ex-wife.
Right.
Right.
That's how I met you, too.
Because she was, ex-wife was...
She was a game stop.
She was at, Suncoast.
Suncoast, that's right.
Yeah, I worked at GameStop in the mall. My then wife worked at Suncoast in the mall. Literally right next door.
They were next to each other.
They were next door to each other in the mall. Which was actually like good times back then. It was really, this is 98.
Yeah.
1998,
those were great, man. I missed those times.
They were really wonderful.
I was working at the electronics boutique in the other mall.
Yeah, and the only other game store in our town was at the other end of town. EB, this is, back before it all merged and became the same thing. They had EB down at the other mall, and that's where Matt worked. And Matt had been friends with my...
Went to high school with my ex-wife. And junior high.
And... So, that's how you and I met.
Yeah.
In EB one day, because we were down there looking at something.
We would send customers, annoying customers, back and forth.
Yeah, people we hated, we would just no, guy down at EB across
the town. They've got it, yeah.
He's got it. They called
him. And people down there, oh, no, we had to send it back.
Yeah. It was really fun. Oh, God. It was really great just having the two, there was us.
Yeah.
If you wanted to buy games, it was
Barnes and Noble a little bit.
Mm. Yeah,
I bought my joystick, my Microsoft joystick.
Oh, back when they had Babbage's inside of Barnes and Noble, but they took that out really quick. That was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, this is going back. I mean, it's only been, 13 years, something like that.
See, it always, when you get to this age, it starts with 10 years.
Yeah.
And then you start adding the math, and you realize it's actually been 14 going on 15 for some of us.
But it's a sense of, back then you didn't buy your games online. There was no digital distribution, and there was no...
barely even any internet.
Yeah. There were really no...
Dial-up.
There was one or two MMOs.
Yeah.
And people that could play those things were out, in the future.
If Amazon was online at all, it was selling books, and that was it. They hadn't branched out into selling anything but
they
books.
Were.
That and one jackass that had the CD burner would come in, buy the games, burn them, then return them.
Yep. Your game stores sold...
Games?
PC games.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, because one whole physical half of the store was nothing but PC software. The other was all of the consoles kind of jammed together.
Yeah.
And this was before, any of the mainstream game retailers figured out used games. They did it in sort of a half-assed manner, And in 98, 99, every used game you had was a Super Nintendo game. Mm-hmm. It had racks of Super Nintendo games, but hadn't really built up anything else other than that. That's what it was.
In the center of the store, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
But, so that's how I met you. That's how I met Kevin Harrison as well.
I went to...
Because
I went to high school with Kev.
High school with you and my ex.
Yeah.
And so that was a whole thing. And then Kevin, which I didn't know, Kevin was working at the software, et cetera, when I went to work there.
Yeah,
he was the third key. But, I didn't know he was connected to her. And so it was one of those things where there's people around and you kind of solidify and do your thing. Now, at that point, RJ, you were...
What game store did he work for? Since that seems to be the Land
Castle.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He was.
I went to the arcade at the mall.
You go to Land Castle, right?
Every now and then, after playing, I would go to the game store.
To the game store.
That's how I met everybody. And mostly met everybody else. Who did the show from that point?
I know that a lot of people who listen have worked in retail before, but maybe more recently, it doesn't. It didn't. Then and now are nothing alike.
It was awesome then.
It was such a small company comparatively.
Yeah.
That I don't know what it was like with EB, but Software Etc., Babbage's, those were the predominant names. GameStop was a really small percentage of what the company did before they rebranded.
Yeah.
Software Etc. Where do we live?
I don't know.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know what the hell that was outside.
Oh, Squealing tires.
We're in Montgomery, Alabama. Our district manager, we were in the Atlanta district. There were so few stores. We were in the Atlanta district.
3 hours away.
Yeah. So, and they had like 7 or 8 stores in Atlanta, and then like 2 or 3 far-flung stores like ours. They didn't give a shit.
No.
You selling some stuff okay? Is your shrink percentage pretty low?
Yeah. Money not getting stolen from the till?
Basically, they just wanted to make sure they didn't have to come out there.
Yeah, we do not care.
Yeah.
I also noticed that anybody doing excessively well would be moved from Montgomery to Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Something every time. It would never failed.
Yeah. But we were like, and it was just fine, man. And it was a store made up of just people like.
It was like four gamers by a gamers kind of
thing. Yeah, it really was. It was actually really perfect. And at the time, it was, you know, again, it was like 21, 22. It was a great job. And if there was something, I mean, I shit on retail now, you know, but if that job still existed, it would be a great job.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, it was a mall game store, but the culture hadn't developed into what it is now. If you did trade-ins, it was a bunch of Super NES games. If you did pre-orders, literally, there were little slips of paper, and you would write on this motherfucker with a pen, dude.
You would
write on some paper with a pen, and then what you would do is you would use a fucking stapler, and you would staple that shit to like a receipt that says that they just gave you some money, right? Yeah. And then you would trust this asshole behind the counter to associate the one with the other, and then the asshole behind the counter would write in a little paper book, Bob, this guy wants this game. And that's how pre-orders work. And then every so often they would like, you would, you know, tally into the POS.
Yeah.
Just a number of people for this thing. There was nothing automated about it whatsoever. And trade-ins required the customer to fill out carbon forms.
Yeah.
So, and I think that actually discouraged a bunch of useless shit. Like, if it isn't worth your time, people wouldn't try to do it. But you'd, like, throw this big book at them, and they'd have to, like, fill out all this stuff and, like, whatever. But all anybody ever brought in was, like, Super NES games, like the occasional PlayStation game, but there was this weird sort of gray market, like used secondhand market that was really doing quite well.
And your customers listen to you. They value your opinion. They're like, all right, we know you guys play these games.
Yeah.
What should I get? Should I get this or that? And be like, you know, this one's better. And they, you know, at first they would be like, nah, they wouldn't listen to you, and they bite, and then they come back like, oh, fuck, I should listen.
Jeremy always had that story about this dude who bought a Fighter Maker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bad.
Yeah, and Jeremy told him from
don't do it.
Jump, don't do it. This is a bad game. He didn't listen to him. And lo and behold, but 1.5, 2 hours later, mm-hmm. came right back to the store and said he was right.
Yeah.
But those guys would always believe you later.
Yes.
You know? And that was really good. And as, you know, as an aside, that's sort of what's wrong with sales and retail and the way things work. Like, it's not a good or trustworthy relationship. The most honest and trustworthy relationship I have with a retail thing is with Newegg, because they don't ever fuck up my shipping.
Yeah.
But I don't really trust humans in that space anymore, because those humans aren't not trusted by the company.
And their jobs are threatened.
If they don't do the
subscriptions, if they don't do the pre-orders.
Jobs are threatened if they're not annoying enough, really.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, basically.
And that actually did start changing when we... That started to change when we left.
Yeah.
Because Kevin... Now, at this point, Kevin, our manager at Software Etc., got really...
Pitchy?
Well, no, he left. Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis.
He left to go get a real job.
Yeah.
Because he was really old. He was like 28 at the time. So he like left to go get a real job. And right. And so like our assistant manager who was really fun, but he was another Kevin. It was Kevin Jenkins.
Jenkins.
Man, he was the weird. Oh,
he was the best. When we started doing the LAN parties with the Half-Life, he was the best.
He was like, yeah, he was great, and but he was horrible.
Yeah,
he was the kind of guy we used to do, right, like LAN parties literally meant dragging your whole shit plus
monitor,
a 40-pound CRT,
yeah, everything
to over somebody's house. Or, you know, we'd be doing GoldenEye or something. He had, like, a Mad Catz GoldenEye or a Mad Catz N64 controller. And just claimed, God damn it, that the only reason you killed him is that the copper in his Mad Catz controller's wire was inferior. So the signals weren't going fast enough.
He's the type of guy that, you know, I could be totally having a fight with James. And just we'd be, like, just throwing rockets back and forth. But any one of us, like, see him running by, everybody would stop what we're doing and then chase him down.
He was just really great to annoy. He was easy to sort of drive up and say. But he was our assistant manager, and they didn't give him the store.
So he left for up north.
Yeah, well, later he did.
Yeah.
Which, in retrospect, is actually kind of bad for the possibilities of things having been fun. Because I could have worked for him, because it's just like, dude, shut up. And it was fine, you know. But anyway, they brought in someone else who didn't even like video games, who just liked being a manager. They brought in Sonia. You remember Sonia?
Yeah, I do.
just didn't care about anything. And it was the first time I'd ever seen that, where someone was like, where I watched her just lie to people. Like, just everything in the store was great. Everything in the store was the greatest game in the world. And I was like, bitch, most of this shit sucks. Like, it sucks. And what you do is you tell people what sucks, and then tell them what's really good, and they'll buy the really good, and then they'll come back and buy more things.
And they trust you.
But, like, now, who the fuck trusts GameStop? Nobody. They're a joke. Right?
Yeah.
You're a joke just for working there. And that's not even fair. But it's true. And it's something you have to fight. And 14, 15 years ago, if you didn't really know what the fuck you were talking about, you don't get an interview, you know? Like, you had to kind of know what the fuck you were talking about.
I got an interview. I just, like, you know, you said it was over the Christmas holiday. You're like, hey, come work for us instead. I'm like, all right.
Well, but we had already sort of supplanted the existing
the
existing management. But anyway, Kevin left, got a new manager, all this other stuff. Kevin Harrison got just fucking sick of Sonia. He couldn't work for her.
Not at all.
So he just walked out. And, like, so we were, like, short, you know.
A third key.
And random, absolutely no reason whatsoever. This is like about a week before 1993. Jeremy moved to town. He had lived here before. And
went to Atlanta.
Yeah, just stopped in, like, looking for people who knew video games to talk video game shit about. And just started hanging out in the shop. And, like, turns out he was going to 99E3 as well. So, like, we all actually wound up crowding into the same room out there together because his room fell through, and then he didn't have a gig, so we were just like, Sonia, do this.
Yeah, that's how I met Jeremy on the trip to E3.
Right. So he just kind of happened into everything. So, and at that point, you had you already come over to to Software Etc. at that point?
Yeah.
I think we'd actually gotten a bunch of our own people in there at that point. It was me and you and Jeremy.
Danziger,
Danziger, a couple of other part-timers, Air Force people, mm-hmm. a lot of Air Force part-timers. But anyway, it was just a bunch of guys hanging out, doing really all they ever wanted to do, which sit around and talk about video games and occasionally, like, ring one up for somebody. And then we all quit, and we opened our own place, but really long story short, the funding was all basically, like, through Jeremy's thing, and so Matt and I, having made many very bad life decisions, had to go off and, like, do other things in order to, like, fucking get wives off our goddamn backs.
Yeah. You
know? I get it. If you're young, just look. Don't
get married.
Get married. You don't know what the fuck you don't know, man. You do not need to marry this girl.
If you're older, don't get married.
Wait a minute. Okay, do it later. If you really want to do it later. But oh my god, if you're still like in your 20s or whatever, like particularly in the first half of them, just oh, for the love of God, don't do it.
We got divorced around the same time too.
Yeah, we did.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. That was pretty easy. Thank God, because we didn't have kids.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, so it's like a weird thing where it's just a bunch of young people who like video games making very bad life decisions. So we couldn't get away from each other. Even like when we all quit like running the shop together.
We'd still hang out there.
We would still hang out there. I mean, that's every time I'm going to find my wife, I would just leave and go to the shop. and then all of the, eventually all the, because we all quit on like the same day.
Yeah. One after another, turn the key.
Turn in our keys and our notices and stuff. But then slowly, like all of our people who used to hang out up at the, hang out with us at the store.
Would just come
to the shop, and so the shop became like where we hung out.
Yeah, like a family environment, man.
Right. But what we do right here sort of started there.
Yeah.
In that shop with just people. And that shop actually probably would have done magnificently well, but it's at that point when the big gaming companies and everybody started figuring out used games.
Yeah.
And started essentially sucking up all of the business.
And because you were the, well, yeah.
It was imports.
Planet Games was imports and exchanges.
We did imports of Japanese games.
Which nowadays that's easier to do because back then no one knew how to do that.
It was tough.
It was
extremely, extremely tough. And there was like a pretty decent rate of like, yeah, I ordered it.
I don't know
where the fuck it is.
Or even if it's the right thing.
Yeah. It was really, like, bad. And I remember we taught ourselves how to, like, mod systems.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was the first to do it because I had, like, experience soldering and working on boards and stuff like that. And then I did a little bit of it, and then, like, Jeremy picked it up for me and took it and did, like, ton, like, way more. I never bought it.
I fried the board.
Yeah. I remember the first time we decided to go out on our own. There was a guy who came into Software Etc. who had a copy of Thrill Kill.
Yeah, and we got the copy. We burned it.
And he kind of was like hanging out, you know, around us a little bit. And he was like, yeah, you know, so I've got a copy of this.
Because I saw Thrill Kill at 98 E3 in Atlanta.
Yeah, it was killer, man. It was great. It was done. We all knew it was done. But EA shit canned it when they bought, whose was it?
I thought it was Activision.
Quick to the internet.
I'm pretty sure it was EA.
Was it EA?
I'm pretty sure that EA bought whoever was Westwood. I believe EA bought Westwood. And Westwood owned Thrill Kill, and the game was essentially done.
Oh yeah, it was done.
And then
EA was going,
well,
developer was Paradox, publisher was Virgin.
Oh, okay.
Virgin. That's right.
Yeah, I honestly don't. All I do remember is that they were acquired.
Yeah, and then last minute.
And at the last minute, EA, they were in their portfolio. They were like, this is not our kind of game. Yeah. We're a family company.
Yeah, the original publisher was to be Virgin Interactive, which was acquired by Electronic Arts Pacific in the late summer of 98.
So anyway, that didn't materialize. And this guy was like, I got a copy of this shit. And he was like, had overheard us talking about modding PlayStations, you know, to play imports and backups of things. And he was like, I'll do you a trade. I'll give you a copy if you mod my PlayStation. And I was like,
yoinks.
Done.
I still have my copy.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
It was actually a really fun game. Any of the press who said differently were just
idiots.
Yeah, but I remember thinking, like, man, we could, like, do a whole thing about this. Like, we could do a whole thing with this. And it was a big little, significant cottage industry at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was always scary, but we built a little business around that. We knew a few places to get in contact with to get imports. We were just savvy enough about a lot of the gray market activities to really know how to do it. Yeah. And at the time, and again, at that time, there was no DMCA. There were no mass takedown notices or this big war on piracy that you have now. It was all just gray as hell. And you could kind of go around doing whatever you wanted to do.
They couldn't check your system for mods through the internet like they can now.
I mean, back then, I mean...
Or patch it so that it can't work, you know.
You didn't have Google either. Just look it up on YouTube. I mean, we had to...
Yeah, there was really none of that stuff. Like, it was...
Really scrounged.
It was pre-millennial knowledge and skill set. And so we, like, built our little business around this. And it was just ill-timed. Places that did it several years earlier managed to get a bit of a foothold, but it didn't, you know, it was just a few years, and, this isn't a great town for the import scene. Mm-hmm. Mods did pretty well.
But now you don't need them.
No, but it got a little bit harder to do over time.
Yeah.
Specialty used stuff became a little more difficult to have because, The big retailers were soaking all that shit up and repackaging it and kind of beginning the trend that would lead to them putting big yellow stickers on, well, somewhat priceless box art,
And basically you turned into a repair center.
Yeah, it turned into a big repair thing, because moving into, like, at any given time, Jeremy would have stacks of PlayStations, N64s, Xboxes.
Like some GameCubes.
Yeah, and he would that's what he turned into. He turned into a repair shop. He would clean lenses, blow out the dust.
The CD trays.
Fix the CD tray motors and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's basically what it turned into. So it was that, at a place where just a bunch of assholes hung out and talked about games.
Yeah.
Going back to Thrill Kill, Lee Khan in the chat room says, the thing that annoyed me, they canned Thrill Kill, then turned around, reskinned it, and made it worse in making Wu-Tang.
Yep. Yeah.
They...
Because Thrill Kill was going to be the first four-player
multiplayer PlayStation game.
Yeah.
And there was an issue, a great many of the print mags at the time were trying to quell a lot of the anger that it was had been canceled, and saying, we've played it. It wasn't all that good. It's so shut up your whining, basically. You need to be quiet, because it wasn't very good. It was a fucking blast.
I also had the Tips and Tricks magazine that has all the moves in it.
Oh, yeah. I remember us playing it at Steve's house.
Yeah. With his little four-port splitter thing.
Right, on his giant 36-inch Sony.
I don't think it's huge.
Yep, because that was a big TV back then.
Yeah.
Well, that was not... See, I mean, I just kind of knew you, though. I didn't hang out at the shop.
Yeah, see, no. That was all... That was, like, everybody but you.
Yeah, really.
At that point in time. And it wasn't until a couple of years later, when I started hanging out with Dana.
Yeah, the odd thing is that I came into the shop back when it was over... Not in the... Not in the strip mall, carpet, but over in the other
in
place.
The purple carpet?
Yeah, I guess so. Because I had some issues with the Dreamcast I had bought on eBay.
Oh, okay.
Like, the door wasn't shutting or something like that. I couldn't keep the door closed so the disc wouldn't spin or anything like that. And I brought it in, and you and Jeremy were behind the desk doing something. Neither one of you looked familiar to me at all whatsoever. Just brought it in and was like, yeah, we can fix it. And so you fixed it. I came back, picked it up, whatever. But that was it. Just kind of a chance thing. And then years after that, met you through hanging out with Dana. And that's how I started meeting everybody else that was involved. Basically, right. I say everybody else, but basically it was Jeremy. It wasn't until the show, I think, that I met Matt, RJ, and everybody else.
But if you have an interest in this kind of thing in this town at that point in time, you were going to wind up all in the same orbit.
Yes.
At some point in time or another.
I may not know you directly, but we both know the same person.
Right.
Or people, as the case is most likely.
Right.
I remember one time I was talking with RJ way back in, a decade ago, and it was the soundtrack, the title theme song for Sonic Adventure, I'm like, oh, man, I really like it. And you point me this website. Like, oh, yeah, you can download it here.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. RJ knows how to download the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Did, now, yeah, because it was, God, that was really kind of a long time ago. Yeah. What? You also found, you found the last couple of copies of some good Saturn shit. In a warehouse that I bought off you, didn't you?
Yeah, I called.
Because this is how it used to be done. It, RJ just calls Capcom.
Yeah, the warehouse distribution center. The conversation was basically, "Hi, I was told you have some copies of Resident Evil for the Sega Saturn."
Right.
Yeah, we do. We got about 3. How much? I'll take them.
Yeah.
Thank you. Click. That was the conversation. Yeah. Basically. So I had multiple copies of Resident Evil on the Saturn.
I remember I got one of those.
You had one of the long box PlayStation.
Yeah, no, these were, they were the big, the old cardboard.
The long boxes?
Saturn. Yeah.
The Sega CD, the excess Sega CD game cases they just used for the Saturn. And just clipped them up, put them up that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cellophane wrapped. One had a Kmart sticker on it. Yeah, I was just sitting in a warehouse somewhere. They had no plans to do anything with it until, well, someone.
That was a really great period of time in the Saturn's life, or in everything's life actually. But the Saturn had this oddball piece of the history of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were a lot of interesting things like that, but all of the distributors and Sega were just like, whatever, we're done, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of things that were really great became rare very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was doing things that were sort of pointing us to the future a little bit in terms of its system design that seemed awkward and stupid at the time, but were a little bit prescient, I guess. I remember you could even buy briefly. You could buy imports at Software Etc.
Mm-hmm. I bought the imports at Shinmu too. Yeah.
I bought the last Saturn that store ever sold.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was one of the white box.
Oh,
like they long since like wasn't like a refurb or anything, but it was just like a white box thing. I don't know. They were like, hey, we got a Saturn for some money. You want it? And I was like, fuck yeah, why not? That was weird. It was weird times. It doesn't seem like that long ago.
No.
But
yes, it was.
We kind of have a tendency to look at things as like a pre-2000, post-2000. But I don't honestly, geopolitics aside, the gaming world wasn't divided there. That thing at 2000, 2001, that was not the boundary for gaming. Gaming and interneting and all of this bullshit, we're hip deep in now, really changed in 04, 05. You know? Like, YouTube and massive expansion of broadband and stuff, and that all changed shit in a significant way. You know? Everything becoming computerized and automated. And dude, seriously. Let me go. We had a little recipe tin. Little metal fucking tin in our store.
That's where your pre-orders and your game cards.
That's where your pre-orders went. And like, people would... Look, I'm not shitting you. In my little metal tin, in 1998, I had little doubled up receipts and little printed pieces of paper where people had put $50 down on Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
In 98.
Because that's the first time I saw it was E3 in 98.
Yeah.
And even then, it wasn't new. It was a few years.
Yeah, like, because 98 was when they switched to the Unreal Engine.
Yeah. For that, what, Quake engine?
Yeah. It was just, it was so strange back then. And you could, there were really great things we could do. It was actually something really awesome. You could game the system a little bit. Because we had the pre-order books, which you would actually enter in and send off as a piece of information to the distribution center. And you would get games to cover your pre-orders. But there was also another book that was interest.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do you want to pre-order it? No. You know, okay. And you didn't ever have to push pre-orders. You like, nobody gave a shit. It was just like, hey, are you like, you know, you can put some money down if you want, but who cares? Like, nobody cares. The customers were the ones more interested than the employees. But you could, had a little reserve book. And it was just like, this guy, am interested in this game. That's it. No money. No, nothing like that. So, and then you would take that information and enter it in as well. But it was bullshit. It was uncorroborated information. So if you thought there was a criminal lack of interest in a certain game that you knew was going to be really good.
All these people miraculously reserved interest
right,
in it.
Suddenly 30 random people are interested in this game. And so you'd get a lot of extra copies into the store. Sometimes, as it turns out, it's a weird coincidence, but sometimes you'd get just enough copies for each of the people to take home and play at a LAN party.
Yeah.
Who work in the store.
Who'd have thought, right?
Yeah, like, it's funny how that works, but strangely, what, we got like 5 people that are coming over to the LAN? We got 5 copies of this game, and that's really weird how that happened.
The second part of his email says that Max 3 was such a letdown for me, and I went into it with even low expectations. I'm really starting to dislike Rockstar. I love the first three, 4 GTAs, but I think the popularity of those games went to their silly British heads. I would still say that GTA 3 is my favorite, simply because you were just a random guy doing work trying to survive. The story was almost non-existent. Your mind filled in the gaps. Although, to be fair, GTA 3 was a rather formative experience, so maybe that's a little unfair. Okay,
but I think it's fair both ways.
But enough words have been spent there. Just wanted to voice my malcontent with Rockstar. P.S. What is the official in-game chat logger, James? I prefer Heineken myself. Budweiser seems to be the most popular around here, rural Arkansas. But I've always hated its aftertaste.
As a logger, I drink Yingling. Not anymore, but...
Why not anymore?
Because I quit drinking.
What?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Recently. It's kind of why I feel... I'm convinced that's why I'm sick.
You think you've stopped drinking?
Because you dried up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably not sick. I'm just sober. I have no idea.
You're like Bender.
Right? Get some alcohol on him. I should get like a little rust beard going on.
There's a...
But yeah, I was... Yingling is my lager of choice. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's cheap. It's super drinkable. It's got a little bit
available.
More bite and interest to it. It's whatever. It's a good workaday drinkable beer for me. I like it a lot.
I think depending on the time of year, like when it gets colder, I prefer Hefeweizens.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because it's a little...
I like...
Warmer.
Yeah, man, I like really round, high-gravity stuff when it gets later in the year. And I like nice, like, 7.5, 8.5, stuff like that.
I've been drinking some triples and some Trappists.
Triple, yeah. If I could, I would drink... Fat Squirrel or Spotted Cow.
Okay.
A lot, but...
Did you ever try, like, Strapa Hendrix or...
No.
Some Thelonious Monk?
Yeah.
I've been trying to expand, you know...
Why don't we stop talking about beer?
Okay.
Because I'm not drinking beer right now. And I'm not happy about it, as a matter of fact. Really, really pissed off.
Hey, we'd always talk about Military Special. I'm sure that won't do anything for your cravings.
It doesn't have carbs in it.
Yeah.
So.
Are you trying to cut back on carbs?
Yeah, I'm doing like no carbs.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I've lost. I can drink fucking vodka all I want. Stupid vodka. God damn it. Of all the things.
You should get into some soda.
You were a Scotch guy, though. Scotch?
Yeah, I can do. Yeah, I can do Scotch and water. Good. I can do, but I don't. Here's the thing: it's summer.
Yeah.
Right. It's like double summer down here right now.
Double summer. Yeah.
Beer's the perfect drink.
Right. Oh man.
It's that hot.
It's,
and
you have
cool.
no idea how hard it is for me to not pull into that fucking Jet Pep on the way home from work and just buy the 4-pint pack. And just be like, blam, 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 blah.
He's getting so desperate, like, Natty Light looks good.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to, like, downshift into some absurd fucking low-carb beer or anything like that. I'll just not drink
He still
beer.
Has standards, goddammit.
We had a cookout yesterday at work for one of the people that's going away. So I had some bratwurst. And I marinate them overnight in some Miller 64, you know, like with some onions and all that stuff. But I was bringing it in, and like some of the beer spilled out, and so like you know, all on my floorboard. So yeah, my car smells like beer.
You were marinating it in Miller 64?
Yeah. Like, you know, just like some.
Why
onions.
Would you marinate it in a thing that has no flavor?
You're trying to give flavor to the beer. He wasn't marinating the hot dogs. He was marinating the beer. Yeah, in case you can't tell, it's been a slow couple of weeks for anything gaming related.
Right, I don't know how much of this shit I'm going to have to cut out.
I'm sure that's not true for some of you are probably thinking, but you didn't talk about
but
this.
But what about this?
And all this. But
so I don't know. Man. I can't tell what the fuck is going on. I can't tell.
Well, here, we'll go. I'll go over what we've got marked. The Dust 514 stuff cost 24 cents, but we hit that on the last one. Right. Saints Row 3.
That's supposed to have gone into beta now, by the way.
That's what I've heard, yes.
Like a week ago, but I didn't get my invite, so I don't know. I'm not talking about your fucking game.
Yeah. In case anybody's listening that wants to talk about the game, we'd love to get an invite. Still wondering what's going on my planet side.
Yeah.
Saints Row 3 expansion is turning into Saints Row 4.
Oh.
Blizzard fucked up on their starter edition snafu with the...
The number of things Blizzard has fucked up on between the last show and
right.
this one.
I know. I could,
regards Diablo 3.
We can make a show of
it. Let me bring up another thing. Like, Diablo 3 just puts me in mind of like... Because I'm just tired of it. I'm done. I gave it some time and I played it and I got, you know, through... Most of the way through Act 2 of Inferno on a barbarian, and then I was just done. And I was like, no, I don't like what you're doing. But I'd really love to go play Torchlight 2.
Wherever
the fuck it is.
Yeah.
When's it coming out? Oh, summer 2012. Thanks, guys. So
hey, it's summer now.
So August, September, yeah. Something like that. Like that's. Is there a force field? Like, is there a bubble that just pushes things away from summer, either before it or after it, or some people incapable of getting what I want to play out during summer.
Yeah.
Beta, full release, free to play game, doesn't fucking matter. Shit cannot show up. And it can't be market pressure. It's got to be something else. But
I don't know. This is completely beside the point, but I know that Torchlight and Torchlight and Steam are go very well together, and we still haven't seen a summer sale from them. I wonder
which
if they're
I don't even
for,
I don't get.
I don't know, man. Normally we're done
they've
with
run,
the thing.
They've run like clockwork for years now.
It should have been last month, right?
It should have been this past weekend. It should have ended.
Well, no. It should have been the last Thursday of June.
Right, and then it would have ended this Sunday. It would have ended tomorrow. Would have been the last day of their 2-week sale. I think is how long it goes.
So normally it's the last Thursday of June, and then it runs its time, runs its like week and a half, and then now the next week later, and the next week later, not shit, you know.
Yeah, that's just good. I need more hard drive space.
I mean, I'm not saying everybody's trying to find something optimistic about it, but I really, and look, I know that I've got a huge backlog of stuff to play. I know I do, but it all. Yes, I put it there for a rainy day. It just, to me, doesn't feel like a rainy... It feels like I need something new. It doesn't feel like... I'm not interested in any of the new shit. I'm going to go back and play all the shit that I've got, you know?
Red Orchestra or...
Yeah, or... I mean, any of... I've been looking at free-to-play stuff a lot. And a lot of it is just, and they played tribes for a bit, but then that kind of fell apart on me, because when I was like in the little noob bracket, you know, I felt really great. I was zipping around, skiing from here to there, and like, you know, shooting people with discs in the face, and I was great. And then all of a sudden I got knocked up into a different bracket where all of the different weapons and loadouts and classes and all of these other things started coming into play. And in my mind, all I wanted to do was ski around and shoot people with discs. And that's not really what that game is about. That game is about... it's a much more complicated game than any of the previous Tribes games have been. I understand it. I understand it's free to play, and you have to invent something for people to buy. You have to have 6 or 7 different classes. You have to have tons and tons of different weapons. But it's not what I want. You know, I don't want to chase that. I've already got what I want. Light armor guy with a disc. But ultimately, that's not
terrifically given.
It's not the game in my head. I miss the simplicity of Tribes. At the time, it was a really complicated game, but I miss the simplicity of just being good was enough to be good. And as much as I'm happy for them that they've succeeded somewhat with their, you know, monetizing it, I'm a little sad that the things that I've loved apparently aren't possible anymore.
Yeah.
So...
Well, we're not the only ones going through the drought of whatever has been going on now, because Leekon says that mostly he's been playing iPad stuff.
Oof. Kevin and I both, the second episode of Walking Dead came out just recently.
Yeah.
And we've been playing that. I've been texting with him back and forth, you know, like, all right, where you at in this, and, you know, stuff.
Yeah,
like
well,
that.
You know, I would have been playing me some day fucking Z had he not been all like, no, don't get it, and he now regrets that decision from telling me.
Yeah, he told every one of us, he was like, oh, don't buy this piece of shit, and I'm like, okay, I won't buy the piece
and yeah, all I could do was
and he's like, oh my god, this is awesome, don't buy this shit, and I'm like,
should I?
Okay,
I won't
buy this shit. I suppose. Yeah. And but you know what happened? The minute DayZ started getting real play in the media, every motherfucker just like us started saying, yeah, summer sale. Come here, summer sale. Come on. Because $30
is a little much.
It's a little much for an alpha mod. Because I ain't interested in the base game at all.
There's a base game there that's not
right. So $30 for a currently pretty grungy mod.
Yeah.
Not good. But, summer sale.
Oh, it's going to sell like hotcakes.
$10 in another week. Yeah. 3 days, 2 days.
Yes.
Okay, where the fuck are we at? And, you know, I don't even always go into the summer sale or any of the sales knowing what I want to buy.
Yeah.
But that was going to be it.
Fear.
And it's nowhere.
Yeah.
So... That's a little... Yeah, I honestly probably would have a handful of things that I otherwise wouldn't buy if the summer sale were here.
Right. Leekon also says he's playing Desktop Dungeons and the Dungeons of Dreadmoor's new beta. Digital Hughes says he's an idiot and he stayed on StarCraft 2 for some reason. I haven't played that at all. Do you believe that... this is Digital Hughes again. Do you believe that What's-His-Name from EA had a point when he discussed the Steam sales strategy, meaning people just wait for sales now? Does that... That does speak, of course, to a larger question of perceived value of games in general.
I think he's right. I think the facts are there. I think he's wrong. I think his analysis is wrong. Well, they just wait for the sales so that fucks me up. Oh, man... When we started Steam sales, the whole point, Gabe's original point, was that you're
pricing
all charging too much for your games.
You could charge less and still sell a shit ton of it.
I promise you, if more of the games I'm really interested in were launching at 40 and not 60, then I would buy more games right off. But the fact of the matter is, as much as I might want to play, I want to play Spec Ops... The line. I really, really want to play that.
Yeah.
I will not fucking pay $50 for that game. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend 8 hours going through a single player game. That's not worth $50 to me.
No.
it's maybe worth 30.
It's the same thing with console. Yeah, same thing with console things. You know, you come out and see a game, $60. I'd love to play it, but I'll wait a while.
Yeah,
wait a year to sell the $19.
Yeah, and we haven't seen really. Well, we haven't actually seen the data from Valve at all on this, but the idea that you're making less money because you dropped the price seems sort of ridiculous to me. You drop the price and then sell. Yes, you've dropped the price, but how many more copies are you selling because you dropped the price?
I didn't buy the A10 simulator when it was at full price, but when it dropped down to 20,
hard to pass it up at 20.
I've played it like twice. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's always on. It's on my back burner, but I know it's there.
Yeah, I think he's right that people wait for the sale, but I think people wait for the sale because people are still suspicious of full priced games.
Yeah,
it's not that hard. Just, you have to get off of this notion that $60 is somehow where the perception belongs. There isn't anything inherently $60 about your game. If that was true, then you can't reconcile Max Payne and Skyrim.
Yeah, Skyrim still is $60.
And it's still worth $60 if you haven't played it yet.
Yeah. I mean, I remember we all bought Deus Ex. Without waiting on a sale. We all just jumped on
that. I think it was recently on sale for like, what, 10?
Well, yeah, it's been on sale a couple of times.
Yeah, it's been on sale a few times, and it's really cheap, but none of us waited.
But I had a really good time with it. I was really interested in that game, and I felt like it pretty much delivered.
That didn't even fall into a rental category for us, because we all bought it on PC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the conclusions he's trying to draw are designed to support a business strategy they've already put in place. I believe that what Valve does is the opposite. They actually look at what people are doing, try to determine why they're doing it, and adjust their business practices accordingly.
Digital Hughes says, there was a game that I won't mention, which was almost killed by a Steam sale. They put it on sale slightly too soon and couldn't sell any copies beyond the sale point. Says it's too complicated to talk about on text. I'm trying to remember what that was. I seem to remember.
I can understand. I mean, you know, cutting. I don't want to be an advocate for just cutting prices down to infinitely small amounts.
And I can't remember what it was.
It's still, I suppose, some. I mean, I guess if you put it on sale too soon and then adjust back up to your previous price, it's going to be
kind of jarring.
It's going to look wrong.
Well, anytime a new game releases on sale, it's only a few bucks cheaper than what it would be.
Yeah, like 10% off.
Yeah, you get like a full. The first week is just like 10% off, and then it goes back to regular price.
Or 10% for a pre-order or something.
Yeah, and stuff like that. But I want to say that this game started at a much lower price than what it was supposed to. I can't remember what game it was, but I thought I remember reading about it. And I could be completely confused. I could be thinking of something completely different. But I can't remember what it was. But anyway.
I was trying to think of that situation with '05 with Madden 2005 and NFL 2K5 when that came out. I'm trying to remember the sales numbers for that, but that game, but Visual Concepts won. NFL 2K5 debuted at $20, and EA's Madden 2005 came in at $50 with a special edition at $60, and the quality of the NFL 2K game was right at, or maybe a little better, a little worse than EA's established Madden franchise. And the sale of that game cut into EA sales so bad, that's when they got that exclusive deal with the NFL after that. Mm-hmm. Because so many people were buying 2K5 instead of Madden 2005. And they just, Madden 95, so I'm going basic for it. The sales, the fact that the price was so low. And as just at the same quality,
and it was just as good a game.
Flying off the shelf,
EA's decision wasn't like, well, we need to adjust our price point or offer more or something like that. It was like, we just need to keep these guys from selling.
Or I don't know, make a better game.
Yeah, because that first game after that sale, after that deal was pretty bad. Yeah, the one after that was not as bad, but still bad. Then they got back on track after that.
Make a better game, EA? Ha.
Every now and then that happens by accident.
Yeah. The law of averages.
They make a perfectly good game, realize their mistake.
And then never do it again.
And either never do it again, or fix the fuck out of that good game in a sequel or something. They accidentally made two good...
Mirror's Edge?
In the same year. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not Mirror's Edge.
I was thinking Dead Space and Mirror's
Edge. They accidentally made Dead Space pretty good twice.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Which it looks like they finally fixed that problem.
With the third?
In the third one. Or maybe they haven't, and they're embarrassed that it's actually good again, which is why they only showed the multiplayer.
Because when I think of space, I think
that doesn't sound like Lost.
I think of Lost Planet. Yeah. I think of Dead Space.
I'm sorry, I'm not playing Dead Space for multiplayer. I'm sorry.
No. I tried that on 2. It was terrible. I did one game.
Oh yeah. Well, they were. To be fair, they were showing the co-op, but still, it didn't look very good.
Co-op. I was thinking about you and Scott's playing of Resident Evil 5. I was thinking about y'all maybe having flashbacks of what y'all went through with that when they showed the dinner.
That was a really bad video game.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any hope for 6?
None whatsoever.
No, of course not.
That was some of the worst. That was some of the worst show of a game I've ever. I was like, you know, the games are supposed to get like better over time, right? Whatever. You fuckers haven't done anything great since 2 anyway. I mean, I liked some of the other stuff, but
Code Veronica.
No, Code Veronica was good.
Yeah.
3 was good. 4, even though it abandoned every concept about Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I had to admit was quite good, but 2
was the best.
2 was beautiful. It was just lovely. I haven't played anything like that in a while.
Play the whole series backwards. I played that series backwards before we went to the next gen consoles. Yeah, my first Resident Evil game was Code Veronica.
Jesus Christ, man.
Then I played 3. Then I played 2. Then I called Capcom, got 1.
Yeah, right.
You really did
it. Then
and you, but four, you didn't even you didn't even wait for the remaster or anything of the first ones to start showing up on another system. You straight went back to
I went to GameStop, found some Jew stuff, and went back from there.
Leecon says, I miss when EA was Electronic Arts and had some crazy Apple early PC games. Digital Hughes says, Earhart. Leecon says, Mail Order Monsters. Is it Archon or Archon? Archon. Archon?
Yeah.
And then Bard's Tale was EA.
Oh, God, yeah, the Bard's Tale.
Yeah.
And that's like Apple II seed A's.
I still have some hope for them. I mean, they have a lot of money. They're really big. Although, well, I don't know. Did you see the article it was like maybe it was gamesindustry.biz or something like that. I saw it linked somewhere on the internet. I can't even say. It was a long form article, more or less, talking about the stock behavior of EA in particular. But it was like, I don't normally think that this stuff is as important as some other people do, but it was tracking EA's stock in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's had a period of unprecedentedly bad performance. And the point of the article was basically to say, like, okay, we're on, like, a long enough trend now that this isn't just, like, a quick little dip. If you look at it and chart it against its parent index, the NASDAQ, you know, like, you can look back, like, a year ago, and, like, Activision, THQ, EA, something else, we're all like kind of like tracking right along with the NASDAQ. And then all of a sudden last year, EA in particular,
just a good dive.
Practically on the day of the release of Old Republic, was just like, pew! And it's been on like this really horrible fucking dive ever since. It's been like really, 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 really bad. And while the NASDAQ has kind of ticked back up a little bit, like for the first time in a long time, and Activision's kind of doing the same thing, THQ's doing the same thing.
Dusting themselves off.
Yeah, and Well, but, I mean, they're not getting better.
Yeah, but, you know.
The NASDAQ's doing fine. All the individual companies are not, they're really not doing okay. And, yeah, okay, it's, we're talking stock and we're talking business, but these guys, as a, if you take them all together, they represent most of video gaming. Most of the money.
How many squillions of dollars?
Right. And they're so over-leveraged, they're so paranoid and desperate, they're so big, they're too big to know what's good for them. And they're making phenomenally bad decisions. I can't say, but the amount of money they invested into Old Republic, and then the state that Old Republic released in on the market, and its performance in the 6 months, eight months since then, obviously an investor's not going to be particularly happy. They're going to be like tragically unhappy. And you look at that and you think, I dumped all this money down a hole and I'll never get it back. And when EA dumps money down a hole, it's not like you or I, you know? It's not like doing some repairs on your car or even buying a new house. These guys, they dump like hundreds of millions of dollars. Just, and it's just gone. It makes me a little bit afraid. Even big companies can fall apart.
Yeah.
And when the stakes get as high as they are, single bad decisions can ruin an entire company that big. Very fast. It was just something we were talking about with Sony a while back.
Let alone multiple bad decisions.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So imagine when essentially all of our eggs in terms of property and license and IP are only in a handful of baskets, and all of those baskets are behaving really bad. Like, well, I can see why people would be afraid about another video gaming crash.
Yeah.
Like we had before with so many different companies closed down and took all their great IPs with them.
It seems, you know, years ago in the past, you know, companies and video game makers were more willing to take a challenge on an IP, on something new.
It wasn't that expensive.
Yeah. You know? The price to make it, you know, like, oh, let's, you want to be a thief hiding in the shadows and, you know, use arrows with water and just club people and stealthy? That sounds crazy. Let's try it. It works.
We were all adults playing games long before it was a billion-dollar industry, even a single billion-dollar-a-year industry. Now it's the
industry, yeah.
It's the entertainment industry. So it eclipsed the movie industry a very, very long time ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. Back when 100,000 copies of a game sold was like a substantial and noteworthy success, who gives a shit? The costs overall were nothing.
Yeah.
So go ahead and invest in that. Now when someone like EA spends probably $500 million acquiring a company and then sinking money into having them make a game, and it fails,
that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah, well, how, and what else is it going to take with it?
Yeah. And, you know, I do feel games have been more cautious as far as, like, you know, taking risks, as far as, yeah, you know, coming out with new ideas. You know, like, you know, we say it in the movies, and now we're saying it in video games, you know. How many are original ideas as opposed to sequels?
Yeah.
You know?
You mentioned Mirror's Edge earlier. When that came out, were you like, kind of like surprised a game like that even made
existed?
It even made it to the shelves?
I was. The years before that were a little bit like now in terms of the hate for EA. People were very upset about it.
Yeah.
Back, you know, and 5-6 years ago. Yeah. But just EA's behavior as a company, the legions of code monkeys and stuff and all the bad stories that had come out of there about it.
Scott had a animated GIF for a Avatar.
The EA.
EA's a Nazi swastika.
Yeah. I remember that.
So when that showed up, it was like, okay, they're breaking their sequel cycle, you know. They're not just regurgitating another thing, they're making a couple of actual new IPs this year. It was really, really fantastic.
Well, I thought they were breaking the norm.
I mean, the same time as a Dead Space kinda?
Yeah.
It was the same year. Dead Space was October and Mirror's Edge was November. When those released. So yeah. It was kinda like, yay, and then they fell back into it, but it was a little while.
But they also fell into other behaviors as well. That's when they started, because that was around the time when, maybe off by a year, but you know, that was around the time when they were acquiring BioWare. They were, I mean, they were already looking toward, they bought BioWare, you could argue, for the Star Wars license, for the Knights of the Old Republic thing, so that they could make the Old Republic game. This was like a single purposeful reason for doing it. They were turning away from just being hated for making sequels to now being hated for being a sequel factory that pulls a lot of, you know, anti-competitive and anti-consumer bullshit. I don't see how they climb out of that. Releasing a couple of new IPs isn't going to do it for them.
No.
And with as much money as they've lost over the last half year, as much as they've sunk into a property that's never, ever going to make them any money.
Likon says, just like Kingdoms of Amalur.
Amalur, God. And that's it's a shame, you know?
38 Studios, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt Schilling's deal.
If your game needs to sell 500,000, you're doing it wrong.
So. What was the breakdown? They like something to do with the state, moving to the state, and something with the
they received an awful lot of money from the state, from Rhode Island, move the production of the game to the state. They had like a secured loan or line.
$75 million.
Yeah, it was a ton of money. That they took from the state in order to make the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, a game company folding isn't the worst thing in the world. It happens.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to even make some of their basic good faith payments to the state. So the state essentially had to write off the whole debt. And everybody lost their shirt that was involved in it and their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Lego wants to know, on a more happier note, what games are you guys actually enjoying at the moment? That's not much happier because we're hardly playing anything.
I mean, we're really not. I have a list of things that I should be playing. I got a list of things I can play right now.
You got a backlog, same as I do. Yeah.
I got a handful of the free to play stuff, which is only moderately interesting to me at the moment. And then I've got a backlog. And I sit down and I think I should sit here and tackle the backlog. But I don't want to. I want to play what I want to play.
Yeah.
I got a Virtual Fighter 5 Final Showdown. I'm enjoying that a lot right now. And my backlog includes some games probably all of you have already played so far. Rayman Origins. Want to play that. Bought Sonic Generations months ago. Haven't even taken the plastic off that one yet. I bought the DLC for Batman Arkham City Harley's Revenge.
I want to get, yeah.
Got that one to go through. There's something else I've gotten there as well. I can't remember right now. But yeah, mostly I've been playing VF5. And I got a backlog of stuff I need to get to. And I think I'm going to have a good time with Rayman Origins especially. Because I've heard nothing but good stuff about that one.
So I've been doing the Walking Dead, you know, playing that with Kevin. I'm finally going to beat Ocarina of Time. I've been playing that.
Really?
Yeah, I never beat it.
Somebody brought up a good point in the chat room, and that's a good question I wanted to ask. Did anybody pick up the Mass Effect 3 ending stuff?
Oh, yeah, I did. I was actually thinking about that.
Played it and everything?
Huh?
Played it?
What there was to play.
Okay, I guess. I don't know.
I watched a video on YouTube.
Yeah, it's not very... Yeah.
So the Normandy gets saved?
Well, hell, what to say? Look, if they had done this in March...
Shit Pagan says, I hear the new ending is better, and STM Fuller says, by better, you mean longer.
Yeah. I thought they were fine, right? I mean, I know some people hated the ending so much that the newer endings don't help them at all. But those endings were not just bad. And I'm neither here nor there about the good or bad. The things I personally hated about the ending was that nothing made any sense. They obviously did fix a couple of things that they realized were stupid. They make it clear that Joker comes in and picks up your people before you make the final charge. It still doesn't fit well within the narrative, but basically everything from Marauder Shields to Starchild still doesn't make any sense. And not the way it's presented, and I don't like it. I don't care for it. I think that they were. I still believe that something like the indoctrination ending was originally intended in some earlier version of the story. I also think that that's sort of a fascinating thing to have done. That's clearly not what they did. But from the point where you make your decision, I thought these new endings actually did what. If they had done this in March, there would have been some belly aching, because there are a lot of people who really, really just wanted to go make blue babies with Liara, or you know, something like that. They wanted their own personal ending, and you're never going to be able to satisfy everybody along those lines. But I thought these were honestly not bad. They were a pretty good recovery from this fucking shit that they gave us. Because they explained stuff, you know? They bothered to give you just a little more insight into what happened. Enough that I clearly can tell that while I would still choose what I chose, because that's what I went there to do, I can see the differences in those endings. You know? What was it? It was destroy...
Assimilate
and control. Yeah. Or it wasn't assimilate, it was destroy, whatever, something like assimilate.
Yeah.
And control.
You become part of the system.
Right. And that's obviously the best ending now. I thought that was exceptionally clear. But, you know, I thought it was good. They give you a couple little flashes that are entirely determined by who's alive. And there are some very specific things that are reserved only for your love interest. The putting the name on the...
Well, the hesitation to put the name...
That only exists in the destroy ending.
Yeah.
And one of the developers actually chimed in and said, that means what you think it means. In that ending...
He's still alive.
Shepard's alive. So... I liked that. There was a little more clarification. Joker shows up. He comes down on Earth. He scoops up your buddies that are in your squad. Which was a huge what the fuck previously. But
yeah,
they get carried away. Okay, so that's why they're safe. That actually, the narrative makes sense now. It doesn't come across as a fever dream. They make it very, very clear, like, okay, the device is active. Everybody run away and we'll meet at the rally point. So previously the only thing you saw was the explosion going off. And then the Normandy flying through the Mass Effect network. This time you actually see like all the ships turning and running away, only to meet somewhere else. A little bit of dialogue here. Another contextual scene here really smooths out the whole narrative. Whether you like the narrative or not is beside the point. One of the big problems with what happened before was that it didn't make sense. I felt like I was having a weird dream, or that the ending was physically broken and I wasn't seeing what I should.
I think it was physically broken.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that the Normandy's taking off again. Okay, that changes things significantly, mm-hmm. because the implication before was that it was just crashed there forever.
Yeah.
I'll go so far as to say that I like the new endings. Mostly because they made it clear that the whole universe isn't decimated, that life actually does go on, but in a significantly different fashion. you can see some variation in the consequences, you know. Destroy kind of sucks because Edie's gone and all the Geth are gone after all the work I did to save them. But in the synthesis ending, you know, everybody's happy and it's great and we have like this galactic golden age. As long as you're okay with forcing every living thing in the world to, you know, merge with synthetics, which kind of has dark overtones. And then the control ending was like pretty cool, but pretty bleak in its own way. So I mean, I liked all that stuff. And I liked that it leaves the universe open for more interesting things to happen without Shepard.
Yeah.
You know? I thought they were okay. It's too little, way too late. I just wish that this is the thing they had done first.
Yeah.
But I'm alright with it.
I YouTubed them. I haven't played
it. It's fine. The stuff that's on YouTube is good enough.
Yeah. Did you see the hour footage of Battlefield 3?
No.
Someone, like, recorded, you know, before they scrapped it, an hour's worth of footage of
Battlefront.
Yeah, Battlefront 3.
Sorry. No, I saw that that was there. Like, in a really rough and
very rough, yeah. Very, very rough. But, you know.
It's hard to watch those when you know that you're never going to see that.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, it's nice. It's not even nice to know, you know. It's one of those things where, god damn, I'm going to start
a fire. He's mocking you.
I'm going to start a fire to get those birds out of the chimney. But it's like anytime they showed you, I remember a couple of games, they showed you looks of like the Avengers game that they were trying to make. And then they showed you, I think they showed a Superman game that was trying to be made by Factor 5, I think is who it was. And a Flash game that was trying to be made, stuff like that, and I think a Road Rash game, and it was all these, like, here's stuff that happened, but we never got to finish it, and it's one of those...
It's hard
to watch those, because it's just like, it's never going to happen. Why tease yourself with it? Why look at it? Why get excited about something that's just not going to be there? And then you get an hour of that footage, and that game was a way further along than most of these others that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Even though it looked rough, it was still further...
Did you watch any of it?
No, I saw some screenshots from it, but, yeah. But yeah, it was, you know, it's just, but I didn't watch any of it. First off, that universe doesn't interest me, nor does Old Republic's universe interest me. The game and playing with everybody else interests me, but the universe doesn't. But I know a lot of people love that Battlefront games, so yeah.
I really enjoyed the second one.
Yeah, no, better because it was better than the first one.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
Yeah.
The only other thing I have on the news feed here was that Sony is going to buy Gaikai. Is that who they are? Gaikai for $380 million. That seemed to not necessarily come out of nowhere because I thought they were pretty much partners with them on some stuff to begin with, as it were.
Yep.
And Sony was just like, you know what? Fuck it. We'll just buy you. And you'll be our cloud service.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, not much as far as what's been going on. I played the Spider-Man game and I finished the Spider-Man game.
Halfway through it.
Why did you finish Spider-Man? I don't understand. Is it really because like there's really nothing else to play?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I did. It was, you know, you start out playing it and you start collecting those comic book pages, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to be doing this for a while, and so I collect them. I just couldn't stop myself.
It was then one of those things where I got like, the little, you know, the civilians to rescue real quick. Let me do that.
I got to do more. Let me do this. Let me do this. And it would advance me through the story, and I also went online. I was like, how long is this thing? And people were like, oh, it's real short. And Game Trailer's review was like, oh, it's also real easy. And it was. So I was just like, fine, let's go through it. And so I went through it, and... you know, and now I'm done with it. I'm ready to send it back.
Yeah.
But if you go in and look, I played 15 to 20 hours of that game, which is a lot. But is it? See, they factor this stuff in whenever they tell you how long is the gameplay, and they'll say, "Oh, it's about 20, 30 hours worth of gameplay."
But how much?
Swinging above the city, trying to find 700 comic book pages doesn't seem to relate to me to like. gameplay.
Right. That wasn't the point of the game.
Well, no, there's the other thing. It's like, if you're an open world game, how many hours involves you doing anything in there? Oh, it's open world. Well, fine. Then this game could be, oh, it's, you know, 700 hours long, or ever how many hours you want it to be, because it's open world, which means you can sit perched on a billboard for 3 hours if you want,
yeah,
and just look at stuff.
You can sit by the side of the highway coming out from the tunnel in Crackdown.
Yeah.
And just shoot.
And snipe tires on cars.
And still, and say that was worth the price of admission.
It actually really was. I'd
say the comic pages were your orbs in Crackdown, wasn't it?
They were, and but the orbs actually upped your they upped your skill.
Yeah, this
comic book pages don't do anything but unlock comic books in the
and
game.
Give you an experience.
And the orbs were not trackable.
The sounds of the comic book pages actually sound just like Nimrud's in Elder Scrolls. It had that same tone.
Yeah, but if you hit, what game were you talking about?
Oh, yeah, you didn't play Skyrim or any of the Elder Scrolls, did you?
No, I didn't. I still don't have Skyrim. Waiting on a Steam sale. No, I still don't have Skyrim. Now, that is a game I'm actually probably will pick up on a Steam sale. I'm not waiting for it, but when it's down to like $10 on a Steam sale, a lot of these games are like, well, shit, it's $10. I'll grab it. It's never a sense of, like James was saying before, I never go in having a list of like, here's what I'm going to buy when it's on a Steam sale. It just happens to show up, and it's like, well, that Terraria's $5? Sure, I'll throw a fiver your way and buy that. I don't care what's been said. I'll see what it's like. Even though I never play you. You know, that sort of thing. Because I still have Bastion that I picked up for $5 and I installed that motherfucker.
That's near the top of my...
It should be, I'm sure.
...of my fucking list of shit. Although, fucking... Fuck off! Seriously, I would buy and play Dawn Guard right now.
If we could.
If I could. But I can't.
Yes. That's it. It's a time exclusive, right?
Yeah. Which doesn't make sense to me. Timed exclusives at launch, while shitty, actually make a kind of sense to me. Hey, if you buy it on my system, you've got access to this thing right now. Those guys can't get it until later. But it's been fucking 9 months. We're all sort of committed to the platform we bought the game on.
Yeah. You're not going to go out like, well, might as well pick it up on Xbox.
What do you gain from a timed exclusive? How many people... I don't get it. What
just
do you
piss
gain
off
at all?
Everyone else. That's what you gain.
I honestly can't think of a single benefit to doing that. What, do you think I'm going to go get the Xbox version?
And start
fuck
all
you.
Over again?
I've got 200 fucking hours in the other thing. No. Fuck.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. You're not selling systems anymore, man. That's 4 years ago.
That's one thing I never... Like, the Star Wars Xbox that came out. I'm like, you're too late in the system's life to come out with the, you know, kitschy little system. You know, if this was, like, a couple of years ago, I would have bought it in a heartbeat. Be like, all right, yeah, it's cute, whatever, makes noises. But I'm like, no.
It doesn't make any sense to me. This timed exclusive is pissing me off, because it is another thing that I would gladly... $20 is... My impression is that they're making the Skyrim expansion stuff the same way they did the Fallouts. You know, 4 or 5...
For the
20-hour little bonus dudes or something. You know, maybe 10-15-hour bonus dudes. Which is great, that's fine. You know, so I'm not going to get another Shivering Isles. Okay. But it seems a little pricey. It's like $20 on the Xbox. It's more expensive than the ones that were with the Fallout, right? Weren't those like 15?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. And I think this one's going to be 20. I don't know. Not too excited about that. But I would buy that and play that right now.
So it's timed exclusive. Do they give any date on like when it will be available?
No, it's already out for the Xbox and we still don't have a date for the PC.
Jesus.
So, I don't know. I expected 30 days, you know. But if it's as much as 2 months, then it's going to fall right in the middle of, you know, probably another couple of things I want to play. Assuming, again, that the PlanetSide 2 beta happens at any point in time. Or if the MechWarrior is good at all.
Or PlanetSide decides to...
Yeah.
say, hey, we're ready to go. You know, and we get our beta, or we get our invites to go play that. STM Fuller keeps asking us about Spec Ops. I know you came into the chat room late, but we've already talked about Spec Ops. None of us have played it yet.
Just the demo.
But we want to.
I really want to, but I'm not going to buy it on the PC. I need to try to get a hold of a copy on the console.
Although, he said, and maybe he'll say this, he said he picked it up for $25 on the PC.
So, yeah, no, I believe Amazon was running a sale.
Oh, Amazon has a sale on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, still Amazon has it for $25.
Yeah. I know it's $25.
I think every PC game should be like Steam, Steam enabled.
I think it is.
It is Steam enabled. Yeah. Oh. He says it's $25 good.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Yeah, it enables on Steam. Yeah, it works on Steam. It's $25 good. You know, I initially held off on that because it and Max Payne and Amazon's just doing a huge sale right now for the entire month on PC games. Some available on some are Steam enabled, or they work with Steam. Some don't.
Yeah, I forget what they call it. Steam something.
Steamworks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I saw that it was, and I thought, okay, well, let me see what happens when the sale comes up. See what Steam's going to do. Because Steam and Amazon have sometimes had a nice little, whatever you price yours at, we'll either beat it or we'll match it.
Yeah.
And so I was going to wait and see if Steam was going to beat it. Of course, Steam is just like doing their usual.
I think whoever's in charge of letting us know about Half-Life 3 is in charge of the sales too. Getting the information out for that.
Yeah, they're doing whatever it is that they're doing. I have no idea, and so that may not be around much longer. But I'm just as interested in the game as he is, as James is.
Was the demo fun?
The demo's all right, but it's what everybody else is saying about the game.
Yeah, my understanding is, and this is why it's hard. I trust the recommendation, but even at $25, having played the demo, the piece I don't. Maybe you can change this stuff on the PC. I don't like the FOV and everything on the PC demo. It's not really great. Seems to perform well enough. It's third person. It's a little squidgy. The gameplay's not very tight. It doesn't quite feel right.
I didn't like what I played at E3 for the game.
I can understand why you wouldn't.
But then I started reading reviews, and they're like, this is...
It's Heart of Darkness.
Yeah.
Set in a deserted Dubai.
Okay.
And it's supposed to put you in the position of making a lot of uncomfortable decisions in the midst of the people you're in the midst of, let's say. It's supposed to be a really excellent journey. Maybe not so much that the story itself is brilliant, but just how it carries you through the story. It's supposed to be really, really good. But the gameplay doesn't sell itself, in my opinion. I just don't think the shooting is solid enough. It's just, it's weird and arcadey and floaty and imprecise in a lot of ways. I mean, play the PC demo. It's there. It's available.
It's a demo on Xbox Live, too, if you want to try that. So, demo's out there for you to play, but I don't think the demo is a good representation. I mean, it's a good representation of what you're going to be doing most of the time in the game. But I don't think it's near the representation of... and obviously, that's the problem with most demos, is that it's not a good representation of the overall
experience
of the game itself.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, that sort of thing. With demos, it's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes you can kill the sales of your game by releasing a demo, and sometimes you can, change a lot of people's minds with the release of a demo, for good or bad. So, that one's kind of on the fence, because you'll play the demo and you'll think this isn't too great, and then you'll read reviews where people are praising some of the things that it decides to do. You're like, because the demo doesn't show you any of that. You don't get to experience any of that in the demo.
You played some of the Telltale games, correct?
I played...
Back to the Future?
Yeah, I played Back to the Future and... What else did they do? They did Sam and Max, but I didn't play much of that. I guess Back to the Future might have been my first.
Okay.
Seems odd, though. played something else of theirs. But yeah.
Do you like those kind of adventure games?
Nope. I like Back to the Future because it was dealing with shit that was, you know,
Back to the Future,
that I was familiar with. But for the most part, no, I didn't enjoy that. I think I did at one point because I remember playing Sam and Max way back when. I remember playing that game, and I remember enjoying the hell out of that. And I played Myst too, and I like those, but I didn't enjoy what I played of the Back to the Future stuff. I enjoyed revisiting it and kind of, you know, getting some
around the world, but as far
getting some of that nostalgia back to it. But overall, I did not like that. And it sort of turned, and then they released Jurassic Park, which got horrible reviews.
Yeah.
And just people said horrible things about it. And that put me off on Walking Dead. Now I'm hearing Walking Dead is like, oh no, you need to really play this.
That's why I want to get some people into it because
Dana just beat the first one.
Okay. Did you watch her play at all?
I watched her play like one or two things.
It's a decision game with, you know, zombies as a backdrop.
Yeah.
I just
didn't like the way some of the decisions worked, but whatever. If it's in my fucking house, I'll probably play it. Second season's what, $20? Is that right?
I bought the season pass for $24.
Okay.
On Steam, and
she'll probably buy the other one.
Like talking with Kev about, you know, they give you some tough decisions in this, and he's gone like a completely different way than I have.
I always hear that. I always hear like, it's like real tough, you know. And then I get there, and I'm already like pulling the trigger. Like I already know what I'm going to do. Let me do it. Okay, good. Like, I almost never have the tough decision problem.
Okay.
Like it's just not a thing that I suffer in when I'm playing through a video game.
In the first episode, we both had the different person, you know, you have a choice between, like, saving one person or the other, and we both chose the other person. You know, like,
right.
I chose one, he chose the other, and in the very first thing in this one, you know, we had, you know, the decision, like, I went one way and he went the other, and, you know, so it's interesting, like, you know, been talking with him about, like, all right, now, what'd you choose on this, and, like, where are you at, and, you know, so.
I'll do that to at least compare notes if it's any good. I saw, like, there was, she was explaining something to me about, I don't know, whatever, like, I don't pay attention, I don't really care, she has her whole thing that she does, whatever, but she was saying something about, like something with a kid at some point, and I'm like, look, this is where things like this fall apart for me, because if I'm ever in a, like, if the zombie apocalypse ever happens, kids are dead. I'm not doing that. You are no use to me whatsoever. You're simply not useful to me. I don't want to take care of you. I don't ever want a kid around.
They're good at zombie bait. Don't trust zombies.
Yeah, but I mean, like, as a human, like, it's a thing. It's not ever like that. And I sort of got the feeling, and I don't know for sure, but I got the feeling that all of the things were being done in this game according to Walking Dead rules, right? Where everybody goes through a survival situation, and they don't want to, like, be sad or something, you know? Nobody wants to, like, make hard emotional decisions. Man, fuck everybody if they're zombies. Fuck everybody. Do you know why? Because they're zombies, man! Like, I wish somebody... It's one of the reasons I want to play fucking DayZ so bad. It's, like, the only thing in the world, the only thing going, where people are actually behaving kind of the way they would in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, hey, look, there's somebody. Bam, I'm dead.
Right?
Or I'm a... Did you hear, like, some guy got, like, he live-tweeted him getting abducted and slaved?
Yeah.
Did you pick... Have you bought that?
No, Kevin told me not to, so I didn't.
I thought you picked it up with him.
No, I was about to. I was right there, and he's like, oh, no, hold off. And so I haven't.
Man, he did that to all of us.
Yeah. Come on, Kev.
Fucker's hoarding his game. Yeah. He's like, nah, I'm going to tell him it's bad.
He's going to be bitching about, why aren't you guys
No, it'll be fine. About the time we pick it up, everybody will quit playing it.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, I looked at it, and I was like, I mean, I guess I could play this, because it's not, it's whatever, but I just don't trust them to present me with consequences or decisions that I think even make any sense, you know? Like, I saw, like, one little thing that she was doing. And it was somebody I don't know, somebody got bit or something, that somebody they didn't even know, maybe, got bit and, like, wanted the gun so she could kill herself.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't give her the gun. So the only options were, like, give her the gun so she can kill herself, or get in a big fight with her and not give her the gun. It's like, just shoot her. She wants to shoot herself in the head, and she's bitten, so shoot her in the head. And so this whole, like, scene plays out, and she winds up dead. And then everybody just is, like, feeling bad. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Can some... Like, it feels so arbitrary. So it's like you say, it's an adventure game with a zombie as a backdrop. Well, then it's of no consequence whatsoever. I like to think that one of the things that's interesting about Z fiction is that it, if you choose to, you can operate with a completely different set of rules. There is no feeling bad. There is no looking over your shoulder for the cop or the truant officer. You're not going to pay taxes anymore, right? All of the things that make you human right now are meaningless. They're meaningless. Not being dead is what matters. So, in an arbitrary choice that I've invented in my head between saving a child and saving a rational, useful human, kid's gone. I'm not even saying that's like the right choice. Some other people may make different choices, but to me, it's like, I'm not going to save a kid so I don't feel bad. I already feel super duper bad that there are zombies everywhere and the whole world is over. And that's the game I want to play, or the story I want to read, that just isn't afraid to do those things.
And that seems to be the game you get with DayZ.
Yeah. So. But if you play, or more to the point, if you watch The Walking Dead, you know, you just... It doesn't make any more sense than Lost to me about why people are doing what they're doing. It's fucking idiotic. Whatever. I don't know. It's not what I want to be playing. Spec Ops isn't even what I want to be playing. I don't know what I want to be playing.
Make five.
Right now, I either want to be playing PlanetSide 2 or Hawken.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, those are the two games that were like... Those are the two games I came away from E3 with, being like, all right, I'm ready to play these.
Yeah.
And one, we don't know. We think it's close. The other one we know is December, and that's all.
Well, I mean, I hope we know it's December. Things can happen.
Things can happen. But
between now and then.
Yeah. Other than that, everything else has got a hard date, and I know when it's coming out. So.
I think I would actually, right now, this moment, if I could go home and play anything that's within the reasonable kind of future, I think I would most like to play Torchlight.
Yeah.
And I say that not because it's the thing I'm most interested in over the next half a year, but at the moment, one of the reasons that I haven't broken into my backlog is the things that I want to play are Alan Wake, Alpha Protocol, Bastion, couple of, competitive multiplayer games. Things that require my attention. Things with a story, or with a lot of dialogue, or that are like, you know.
It's getting on my nerves.
I'm sorry. All I can think of is like, well, I guess I gotta start a fire in that motherfucker when it's double summer here.
Yep. Are you sure it's a bird?
It's a bird.
What's its problem?
It's either stuck, or it's got a nest, or, I don't know. Just shut the fuck up. Shut up. Stop it.
Oh, man. Scott, nature lover.
What were the other games on your list?
I don't even remember. The point is that they all require my attention.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm in the mood to... you guys follow Rock, Paper, Shotgun to some extent. Did you see John Walker's little article he did about multitasking? Multitask gaming?
No.
It was actually a really, really, really great article. And he pisses me off a lot with the kinds of things he says. I mean, I just don't agree with him a lot of times. Maybe in substance, but not in tone. But he did this article, and like, it was 100% me. was talking about like how you game, and there's these elements to how people handle what they do psychologically. I game with two monitors. I can't imagine playing on my computer with less than two monitors. And for a lot of what I like to do, Diablo, for example, maybe my first time through Diablo 3, I was paying attention to what actually happened. I was watching the cutscenes, I was listening to the dialogue, I was picking up all of the journals. But everything past that, every other character I did, every other time I went through a higher difficulty, I wasn't doing anything like that. I'm just clicking, and I'm doing my loot stuff, and I'm having fun. And the other monitor, I've got Netflix, and I got to show up. And it's not a show that requires my, I don't have to be wrapped.
Yeah, I don't read subtitles.
Right. It was like I watched back through all seven seasons of Deep Space Nine, which I hadn't seen since the 90s. So I had that on while I had my game going. And to me, that's very, I like being able to switch back and forth. I like to be able to be kind of casual about those two things. Because I can't just sit down and watch TV. I have a really hard time with that. And I'm not in the mood at the moment to sit down and play a game that demands all my attention. Something that's fun and kind of engaging at a lizard brain level. And then I can have, a podcast or a TV show or a movie or something going on the other screen. It's just where my brain wants to be at the moment. And I'm kind of sick of Diablo's just, I've run out of stuff to do in Diablo.
Yeah, Ship Pagan says, I haven't touched D3 in weeks, and that depresses me. D2 had me for months, and always called me back for a while every couple of months. D3 barely held me a month, if that.
Yeah, I had the same problem. And I cannot...
D2 was longer, wasn't it? Just like gameplay-wise? It felt like it was.
It doesn't matter, that's not the issue.
I know.
That's not even remotely the issue.
Felt bigger.
Leecon says he's multitasking. He's watching us while he's playing Dungeon Fighter Online.
Yeah, stuff like that's really anything that I can do when I'm. I like multitasking when I play. I really do, and it's one of the reasons I have difficulty switching over to a focused single or multiplayer experience. This comes from years of playing MMOs. MMOs are. Unless you're in the middle of, a super crazy intense raid or something.
You're just going through the motions.
Yeah, and it's still fun. It's still a joy to be there with all of my friends, everybody going in for their loot this week, everybody running this dungeon for the points or for the gear, everybody fulfilling their same roles that they always do, everyone working together to see the things you want to see, even if it's for the 100th time. The gameplay was satisfying, and it didn't require my whole mind. And I could just be clicking away over there, listening to something over here. It was satisfying. And it's just what I want to be doing right now. And every game on my list is not conducive to that at all. Everything that I have right now really wants all my attention. And I'm not in a mood to give it. So if I had Torchlight right now, that's what I would be doing. I would be, going through the motions and playing the clicky game and doing that sort of stuff. And it's not there. And nothing on my list is there.
Digital Hugh says that he is working and drinking while he is watching us.
Best way to listen to us.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That would be a good thing. Barring that, I would gladly trade in all of my spare attention... to have Planetside right now.
Yeah. I think I'm... I know they kind of dropped the ball with, as regards to multiplayer, but the Transformers game.
Yeah, what is that? Is that August? That's August.
That's August.
Yeah, that's next month. I mean, I enjoyed the first one.
That was fun, though.
That and Darksiders 2 were next month.
Yeah, that shit was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great weekend of co-op.
It was. And there's not going to be any.
No, and I'll still play it, but I won't be quite as happy about it.
I know.
Sure as hell beat seeing those movies.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind skipping straight ahead to Dishonored.
Yeah, the gameplay was released that I saw at E3. That was finally released. The two different ways of going through the thing.
Yeah.
Did you watch them? Yeah. So, two different ways of going through, like, it's not called the Cat House Hotel, but that's what I want to call it. But yeah, the Golden Cat, I think is what it was, or something like that. But yeah.
I think you had it right the first time.
Maybe. But anyway, that showed both ways that you can play through the game. You can go stealth, or you can just go completely aggressive with it. And that's exactly what they showed at E3. In their little behind closed doors thing. So.
Well, that's still a ways off. I know that if I simply sat down and dedicated myself to a backlog instead of just wishing for things that I don't have, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
I'd be happy. If I just sat the fuck down and finished Alan Wake, I'd probably be all right.
I need to finish Alpha Protocol.
I really...
I've got a couple of missions into it.
Yeah, I really I know it's broken, and I know in advance how it's broken, but I could really stand to play that, I think.
Yeah.
I understand that it's really kind of rewarding in a way. I should play the fuck out of Bastion.
Yep. You and I both on that. I should play Sniper Elite for as much as I fucking talk about that thing. And I've only played up to where the demo starts, and then I was like, well, I know what happens in the demo, and I stopped playing for a while and focused on just other random stuff.
I went back through a Shadow Company, and I 100% of that one, and I'm like, yeah, that was a fun little side scroller thing. Also just picked up on the cheap the off the record Dead Rising. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Dead Rising. Although I think now I like a cheat where it doesn't degrade your weapons and mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. But you know, you obviously can't save or get achievements. But you know, if you just want to run through,
I just want to play Skyrim again from the beginning without knowing. I want to forget about Deus Ex so I can play that again.
I know.
That's kind of what I want. I want one of those things that, I want a game that grips me. That's all. I'm just, and I know that it's not necessarily any particular game's fault, but that's what I want. I want to be gripped and kind of held to a game where it's just the only thing I care about until I'm through with it.
Deus Ex would be great like that. Just pop some forget-me-nows and play mm-hmm. it again.
And there's nothing. Ugh, whatever. It's just a miserable time, and I'm a miserable old cunt.
I forgot a question that Leecon asked in the chat room. Are any of the IGC folks going to PAX?
No.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
I forgot to talk to you.
It's always a bad time of year for me. Dragon Con's right then.
Yeah.
And that's so much closer than Seattle.
Still give it a try, though. You ever been to PAX? You've never been.
No, I've never been to PAX. But I mean, I have friends that I go to Dragon Con with. That, you know, and this year they're actually gonna. They have a whole costume for me that I'm going to be going as.
Really?
Yeah. My friend Jonathan does movie effects. He actually from a head cast he did of me. He's doing a steampunk Frankenstein, and so I'm going to be. He like made boots and stuff. Like when I put the boots on, I'm like 7 feet tall, and then with like the. Yeah. Have I not shown you the mask that he made?
No. Not that I know of.
Yeah, but so, we do that, huh?
We'll look at it when we're done.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, so I do that. I go to a, I have friends I go to DragonCon with.
I'm planning on going. I'm waiting to hear back from the PAX media folks to let me know that my media status is approved, because the thing's sold out, so... if they don't approve me, I can't go. If they do, I will be attending. So that's our situation currently. No, I did not get it yet. Oh, he said, yeah, you and Ghost Bear got yours, but you and Ghost Bear did yours earlier than I did mine. So I'm doing mine late. They said that they got my stuff, and they said that, thank you for sending your stuff in. We'll be in touch with you soon. And so now I'm waiting. So, there you go. That's my status so far. But anyway, I don't know. I think that'll wrap it up.
I enjoyed our road trip to, you know, 99 to E3. I'd love to do something like that again.
E3 will never come back over here.
No, but, I mean, to California. Because 98 E3 was here in Atlanta, and, you know, I went with the...
It's one thing to do a road trip to Atlanta. It's another thing to do a road trip to California.
Well, you know, flying road trip. Yeah,
okay,
that's
fine.
Yeah. What the hell is a flying road trip?
That's
it makes sense to me, man.
Oh, man. Not at 37. I'm not doing 38 by the time it comes around again. I'm not doing it. About 24 again. Whatever, I'll go anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Like, I really wouldn't. I mean, you don't give a shit when you're that age. You just get in a car and go somewhere, and it's like, it's a thing. You get older, and you're just like, no, dude. Can somebody just carry me there?
It's like, man, that's going to put a ton of maintenance on my car that I'm going to have to put money into. The gas is going to be expensive. I'm going to have to sit around for 37 hours with these people in the same car.
Yeah. I'd love to go to Austin, like, and take a, you know, drive down to Austin for, like, South by Southwest.
I would not like to drive to Austin. I would like to just appear in Austin.
Teleport?
Because I like Austin. But I would just like to be there, you know? I press button, and suddenly I'm there, you know?
Yeah.
I would not like to drive there. But whatever. Spider-Man sucked, by the way.
No, we didn't like Spider-Man.
I don't know if anybody else saw Spider-Man. I really didn't like it. I didn't understand that fucking movie at all. Like,
it's
at all.
Not to understand. It's Spider-Man and...
Well, but that's my fucking point. Why did you do this? We just did this. Like... This, like, the origin of Spider-Man, we just did it. Fucking 10 years ago. I mean, I know it's 10 years, and if you're super young, then maybe that matters, but... I thought, okay, you want to reboot again. That's, okay, fine. Let's just see what you're going to do different.
But it's enough that you can give us the origin during the credits if you want to. It's enough that you can... It's enough that telling us how it came to be, even though it is a reboot... Can be done.
A little splash screen.
Pretty
in
quickly.
5 minutes or less.
So just get us. Yeah, but instead, for all the effort they went to in recasting everything, in rebooting the entire thing, in taking an entirely different approach to it, in the end, at the end of this film, they weren't in a significantly different place. It was still just a kind of by the numbers Spider-Man. And say what you will about the Raimi stuff, it was a little bit oddball in certain respects, but it... I'm sorry, man, that shit had personality. His films, the third one, nah. Yeah. But one and two,
they were fun.
They were fun. Two
is so fucking great.
But one, I mean, for rebooting Spider-Man... Or booting it properly into a modern movie, it was really good.
No, it was. Yeah, no.
Good casting, good sort of conglomeration of all the ideas you want to pull out of the Spider-Man universe and put into this iteration of it. I know they made some weird little choices, but they didn't have a huge effect. And
yeah, it didn't really matter that it went the mechanical.
That it was organic web instead of mechanical. Yeah. Okay, fine. Seriously, you want to be butthurt about that? The difference between these two films, if you want to compare those two, amounts to seconds of screen time to point out the two differences. And then, downstream of that, as you go through the movie, what's the difference? Literally zero. He still walks around going thwip, 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 thwip for the next 90 minutes. It doesn't matter what they're fucking made of. Take a moment, point it out, you tell me this is the kind of universe we're in, but then just get on with thwipping, and that's all you're going to do. And it made no difference that we had gone back to mechanical thwip instead of organic.
Does he ever run out?
No.
He has it crushed.
No, he never runs out. He just, that, and which I think is one of the points of having the mechanicals, was like,
is that he could lose.
We can take this away when we need to.
But they didn't really. Like
but they took it away, and they took it away in the second. Was it the second film they took it away from him?
Well, yeah, because
it was the third. They took it away from him when he went emo.
Yeah.
or whatever. I can't remember. There was something in there.
The 31 emo, yeah.
When he decided that he wasn't focused on being Spider-Man.
Well,
no,
that was
like
in
that.
The second.
That was in the second, and he was, his web shooter stopped working in his
and he lost all his powers.
Whatever.
And stuff,
they still found a way to take it away, but
they took away everything.
Yeah.
The idea is that something could happen; it could stop working, and he would have to like go through a whole thing figuring out a different thing. But they didn't take it away until the last minutes,
mm-hmm.
and at the point in which you're just in a like, great big punchy fight, and it didn't amount to anything. I couldn't stand, and it didn't have anything to recommend it. You know, I thought we were going to see a lot of really interesting. I was most interested to see like what kind of Peter Parker this guy would be, like, or this movie would give us, and like. It's like, oh, he's going to be, like, he's totally self-satisfied, having a ton of fun being Spider-Man, like, not going to be overly emotional and kind of, like, sad about everything the way that Tobey Maguire's was. But then, like, no, give the son of a bitch 5 minutes and he's fucking crying about everything again. I still have to go through 2 hours of a butthurt teenager figuring out how to be a superhero. And it's like, I just... Is there anyone with a pulse who doesn't know how Spider-Man came into being? Do what Scott said. Fucking do it in the opening credits.
Just like they did in the second film. The opening credits was like a recap. Hey, remember all this shit from the first movie?
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Give me the... Dude, fucking... give me the Watchmen intro.
That was a great intro. Really. That's
and bring me there and just recognize the fact that everybody knows. Everybody, god damn it, they know. Yes! Uncle Ben gets shot because Peter Parker was an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, at least last time it was like an interesting scenario. This time it was like for milk. Seriously, chocolate milk.
President Bartlett just got shot for, you know.
And the whole reason for him doing his thing and the whole thing, it was just...
Which you never found that guy. That whole subplot just went away.
And they tried to remind you at the end, and it was like, I don't care. And furthermore, it didn't look any better. It kind of looked worse than the Raimi stuff.
Yeah.
It isn't like between 2001, 2002... And today, we've advanced CGI or filming techniques to a point where suddenly Spider-Man can look good, whereas it never did before. That's not true. All of your little fast, zippy, web-slinging through the street stuff, all of the tight little acrobatic spirals through a narrow alley, dodging fire escapes and window unit air conditioners, that was in the others. All of the fun camera angles, everything that it did... It was there previously. You haven't added anything technologically. You didn't really root around in the story all that much to bring anything up. Not really. So, I just felt like a waste. I was really bored. I was fucking bored by the end.
Just replace Goblin with the lizard and...
I was definitely bored in the lead-up, because, I mean, you go to a Spider-Man movie to watch Spider-Man. I don't go to a Spider-Man movie to see a guy figure things out, because I've already done that in the first one. That's one of the biggest complaints about any origins. Well, it's not a complaint. It's just, you realize that in most of these, you have to go through an origin story, and then it's fun when you get to see him. But your main complaint coming away from there is, I wish there was more of him doing his thing, which is what you get in the sequels of these, because they've already covered that origin thing, which is something they could have done with this, cover it. And which is something I'm hoping there's a great I've got the what the fuck was that
yo
the hell is going on
did you turn this into like a fucking fun house?
I don't know.
The last time we did
there's a great book called All Star Superman and I've got the animated version of it somewhere over there but he covers in the first page I think it's the first page of that book. There are, I believe, 4 panels, and it's just a couple of words for each panel, like dying planet, last hope, humble couple. That's it. That's his origin. Because everybody knows.
Yeah, that's what, like, you know, Batman Begins, is, you know, when I enjoyed it, but do we need, you know, an origin story for Batman, for Superman, for Spider-Man, for any of the X-Men, you know? Something like that. That's
you
been
need
in our...
the origin so that you can set the tone of what... So I can understand the trajectory of this version.
Of what
However,
maybe
do
not
we
like
really
a whole
need to spend
movie.
Too much time?
Maybe not a whole movie, but like half a movie.
Yeah, I forgive Batman Begins a little bit, but mostly because as a character, Batman never really outruns his origin.
Well, that, and they were seriously separating themselves from something.
The Schumacher.
Right.
I mean, that was...
That is
You're a night and day difference in those films.
But again, looking at these... compare this Spider-Man to the Sam Raimi origin from 10 years ago. You are not functionally in any different place. They didn't put a big twist on it. They didn't decide to say, you know what, they just did this. Let's take it a fundamentally different direction. They turned the lights down. They gave him a shittier suit. And it was Lizard Man instead of Goblin. That's
still
it.
Green, though.
Still green. Still Oscorp.
Yeah.
You know, they tweaked it a little bit with the parents, but literally did nothing with that as far as the story was concerned. They refused to commit to it. I'm not saying how dare they do this. I watched it and I thought, what an amazing waste of time and money this was. And it was dull. It was dull. And it lacked... I would rather watch... There was nothing in it that grabbed me. This moment does nothing for me. But, you know, your upside down Spider-Man Mary Jane kiss in the rain and the thing. Like, it's sort of dorky, but you can come away from that and be like, yeah, that's like a thing. That's like a shot that they're going to show for the next 20 years or
it's
something.
The personality you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Or,
it'll be mocked. It'll be, you know, not necessarily mocked, but, you know, like, parried. Alluded to, parried.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Which,
yeah.
And it makes it a moment. And that movie was actually filled with
moments.
A handful of those moments. And they were pretty good. The second one, especially. The
second one was just so great.
And I don't see how they get to anywhere really interesting from what they're doing here.
The best I can say is this is better than the third film.
But in terms of quality, it rests somewhere between the third and the first.
Okay.
Better than the third, not as good as the first.
Yeah.
And it has a really great cast, but just... And it can't... And, yeah, it's... The meat of the thing made no sense. The Lizard Man's motivations and stuff. You had no time for them. Because we had to spend all of this time...
On the origin.
With Peter Parker in school, you know? And, like... Again, there's no good functional difference between his relationship with old girl and Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy.
Like, and she was fine. She was great. She was Emma Stone was by far the most interesting thing in the movie. But even she was like, well, okay, like you're interesting and good to look at and everything, but. Doesn't matter, you know.
You know the that's we're gonna keep getting these.
Yeah.
Because they're under contract that if they don't do anything with this property after a certain amount of time, Marvel gets
then
the rights
back.
Then
it reverts back to Marvel. Yeah.
So Sony's never letting this go. So they will force out whatever crap they can force out, regardless, just so they can put it out there and keep the license and keep the property, which is a shame, really. Because I'd love to see what...
At this rate, Marvel could probably do something good.
I'd love
fantastic.
To see what they could do.
I mean, they're on the whole, their track record is pretty great in the last several years.
Now, how did Marvel lose this title in the first place?
I don't know. I'd have to go back.
I think that's actually ancient history.
I'm sorry, because the concept of Sony owning the rights to Spider-Man, wait.
Yeah.
I don't remember why or how they got it or something like that. I know that when they got it, though, it was at a time that Marvel was just trying to get into the door of films, you know, and get it onto a higher... Like, Fox owns the right to X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
So Fox has the X-Men properties. Disney owns everything else that isn't Fox and that isn't... or that isn't X-Men and that isn't Spider-Man... And I'm not sure who owns the Punisher or Daredevil, but I think those are still Disney. But that was at a time, like, the first two films that knocked this, that knocked these comic books movies out of the park and put them back on the map were X-Men and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Those were the first two films that did it. Before that, you had Blade. Yeah, I know.
It still didn't
move any of it forward. It was trying to, but it was still one of those things where, oh, it's a comic book movie. Nobody wants to see it.
Everybody's still stuck in that 80s mentality of
comic movies. And so the first ones
that be good.
The first ones that did it, it were Marvel, because this was after Batman's fall from
awesome.
I want to say awesome, but if you go back and watch,
yeah,
if you go back and watch those first two films, those first Batman films, yeah, now it, they,
all right, but you're going back 20 fucking years.
I know.
You have to put them in context of there nothing like the current Batman movies existed back then. So it's not entirely fair to that you need context for the Joel Schumacher films don't ever deserve context. They're filth and should be disregarded always.
But, I'd rather see the Adam West stuff.
But at that time, Marvel wasn't owned by Disney. Marvel wasn't owned by anybody but Marvel. And they were just trying to do their best to get into filming. And when this came around, they're like, sure, you can have it. You can have our Spider. They didn't care. They weren't trying to keep them all under one roof.
Yeah.
They were just trying to get them made the best way that they could get them made and not have them be shit. And X-Men did it. They had a great director, you know, grabbing that one. And then Spider-Man came along, and they had a really good director grabbing that one as well. And casts that were
believable. And good script, but also good scripts.
Yeah. And so...
And I think the special effects were also because a point.
Because remember how we felt about... again, you have to... It's a little longer ago than we think it is.
I know.
But remember when you found out who wrote the script for X-Men?
Yeah.
It was like, what?
I know.
Who did write
Solid
the
Snake?
Solid Snake.
Oh, that's right.
David Hayter wrote it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I didn't know. Like,
who,
what?
I didn't know who he was at that time.
Yeah, we all were.
You guys knew.
Yeah, yeah.
This is. No. Yeah, like it was. That was the first of them that was like, wait a minute. Whoa. Comic book movies can be good.
This could be something more.
When written by a video game character, they sure as hell can.
Video game, you know, movies have been trying to break that too.
Yeah, they still haven't. The video game movies still haven't had their X-Men.
They've had their Wing Commander.
Yeah. The closest I feel like they came.
Resident Evil.
No.
The first.
No. I was actually gonna say Tomb Raider. It was better. It was a better adaptation of the property, and I don't particularly care for her, but it was a good piece of casting.
Mine was not the second, but the first Mortal Kombat. I was like, "Wow, this is really good. This is this is nice." And then I've gone back again and watched that.
You haven't watched it.
Well, but I feel like, and I don't think that.
Speaking of video game movies, the entire time I'm watching Spider-Man, I'm seeing the lizard, and I'm like, "Boy, that looks familiar." Boy, that looks familiar. And me and Mike are sitting out in the parking lot at 2 a.m. and I'm like, and he's having the same thoughts. He's like, was it Enemy Mine? Why did he look so familiar? The jawline. And I was like, no, it's from Mario Brothers. Fucking Goombas and the Koopas had that same jawline, same facial feature.
Yeah. From the movie?
I'm not shitting. Yes.
Yeah.
I am not shitting.
That same the dinosaur. Mouth split that like kind of runs up high into the jawline.
Yeah. That whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, God damn, that lizard outfit looks so... Well, I say outfit, it was nothing but CG, but I was like, that whole thing looks so fucking familiar to me. I don't know where...
Channel the ghost of Dennis
I've seen Hopper. It. No, it wasn't Dennis Hopper's outfit. It was the regular Goombas or Koopas, I can't remember. You can look it up on the internet, people are making comparisons. Because that's the first thing I did when I got home at 3 a.m. or whatever. I went straight to the computer and was like, I Googled image those, and I was like, yep, that's it. And there were plenty of people who were saying it too. It was like... really shared the same kind of features.
Hey James, I want to ask you, if there was a game title that could be the X-Men for comic book movies, for video game movies, what would it be? Any title you could think of?
Alright, I can
a couple of them.
Well, you can make those recommendations. The question, the problem is an adaptation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted? I think...
I don't.
Really?
How the hell, I know we've joked about it forever because it's the obvious thing. It's already better than a movie adaptation of it would ever be. It's already, at a certain level of character interaction, it says, unless you have a Spielberg budget, basically unless you have the Avengers, okay, written and directed by Joss, because it's a group cast kind of thing with a lot of really fast, snappy dialogue. Everything is about character that drives you through the adventure. That movie is impossible to make. It's impossible to make. And so much of that game is about taking what we've learned from years of those movies and making it a game. It would be, I think it would be a little gross if you tried to then pull that back out and re-movie it. Like, it would be odd.
It's already, all three of the games are already in movie form yeah. on YouTube, and they work.
Which was incredible. Yeah.
Amazingly well.
So trying to make a movie of something that's already better than a movie could be made of it, I don't think would be the right thing to do. I think you need to look to something unlikely. And while I... The problem is that it has everything to do with who you hire, how much control they have, mm-hmm. and what they're willing to do. You could give them almost anything and make it good. I have long thought that if a Halo movie ever actually happened, it has the potential to be very good. Because one of the things we've always said is that the most interesting things about Halo are the universe and the fiction that they never go into. And the one thing that a movie can't do is give you 2 hours of gameplay. You know? It's not very good. If I were going to... I think what it would need to do is be an iconic gaming experience. Because so much of what games have done have copied from movies. So the more cinematic the game, the less... The poorer it is as a candidate for a movie. Does that make sense?
Dead Space probably wouldn't work in your...
No, I don't really think so.
I don't know. There's a lot of people who have suggested, boy, that either they're making a movie or, boy, this would make a great movie. And the only thing I can think of, and I thought about it with Uncharted, was like, how could they do this? Would be because so much of that game is based on the interactions of the cast, like you said, and the writing that goes with it. But also, we've gone through three games with them now. It almost needs to be Nolan North in the role, or at least his voice. I think animated would be a great way to go in some of these films where there are some of these ideas.
I'm actually believing that more and more all the time now, is that animated would be a much better way to go.
Yeah. Would be a great way. Not necessarily even with Uncharted. Yeah. You could go forward with something else.
They did the two Dead Space animated movies.
They weren't good,
but they filled in some backstory.
Those also weren't traditional.
They were more like cashing in on a name.
No. The style of animation is what I'm going with. Because I watched one of those, and I also watched the Dante's Inferno one. Yeah. That animation was very... I'm not sure. I don't want to pawn it off as being cheaply done, because I don't know. But it
was... Dante's Inferno?
Yeah.
Wasn't that like a mix, like a hodgepodge of other animators, like vignettes, like this guy did this one, this guy did this one?
No.
It felt like...
I don't know. It could be.
Because Dante looked a heck of a lot different in the first part of the thing.
But that felt... Like, but you know,
third and fourth part.
That whole thing felt like a flash animation or a motion comic.
Yeah.
Is what that whole thing felt like. And Dead Space, I'm not sure, and I'd have to go back and look, but those both... Same thing with the Assassin's Creed Lineage, I think is what it was. I'm not sure. I can't remember if Lineage is the live action one or that little prologue.
Lineage was the live action. I forget the
prologue for Ezio's life.
Yeah,
was also done in an animation style. And it was not. Yeah, I wish Don Bluth was still doing animation. God.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we've gone on long enough. So yeah, but there you go. Anything else before we go? We're 2:30 into this, so
whatever.
It'll be shot down, I'm sure, to about an hour.
40 minutes of that is bat screaming in your kitchen.
Any more questions from the crowd here? Let's see. Dungeons of Dread, more of the movie, last 5 minutes. Let's see, what else do we have? Leisure Suit Larry. There's going to be a Mass Effect anime movie coming out. Digital Q says, game movies won't work in general primarily because of the difference in how stories are told. People didn't play Resident Evil for the story, they played it for the way it was told. Movies are inherently different and thus fail in delivery. The Dead Space and Dante's Inferno games were cashing in on the whole anime is cool thingy. So, yeah. That's about it.
Maybe someone will find a way in the future, but we ain't found it yet.
Yeah. So we might be back in 2 weeks. Something really big goes
down.
Comes out. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure Steam Sale will be happening. We'll have that to talk about. And then I'm like, oh, you never know. Who the fuck knows? But yeah. So
you know the moment I'm just gonna say fuck it all and just buy Arma for the DayZ. The next day they'll have the Steam Sale.
Well then, hurry up and buy it, goddammit. Go home right now. Spend the money. All right,
that's gonna do it. We will see you next time. I don't want to say in 2 weeks, but we'll see, because especially who knows when you're getting the show anyway. So, but yeah, we'll see you next time.